Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Because when them old boys raise on shotguns, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to three separate chat rooms there. And let's see, what else did I miss? Ed Burnett? I'm always missing something. Anyway, yeah. Alright, so I posted a couple videos, posted one video, and Stephen Gibbons posted another video in there. And one of the videos was Millie Weaver from InfoWars talking about infrasound, that apparently these big old wind turbine farms are putting off and making people uncomfortable and physically sick. And then the other one was the one that Stephen Gibbons posted in there, which Let's see. It says Nikola Tesla and the fake climate change choice. David Icke, dot connector video cast. Anyway, of course, everybody knows I'm in alternative energy, and I'm trying to find some sort of resolutions out there. But like the video that David Icke was in there talking about Nikola Tesla showing everybody back in the late 1800s into the early 1900s a method by which they could actually get free energy. And so technology existed, still exists, has existed for a long time to literally give everybody what they needed as far as heat and cool and all the comforts that we enjoy as far as energy usage. But some of the companies out there, apparently, when they're putting these wind turbines together in big old farms, aren't really factoring in potential noises or health hazards. Of course, now that's the first time I ever heard anything about the infrasound, so it's something worth investigating, because if it's making people sick, you know, then of course you wouldn't want that. But the technology that Tesla was doing back in the day, it had the capabilities of basically using all different types of frequency ranges that would be way out of the low frequency range that would interfere with the human body and stuff. So, you know, that's something else I'd like to go into. Tom, you there?
Nope.
You were saying something before we came on about them, the way that they compact these things together causing the problem. Could you explain, or do you feel like explaining that?
Well, the same thing I was saying about that also applies to how we live. I mean, they complain about what if they, you know, the power goes out, there's suddenly a food shortage and or, you know, without power and all this kind of stuff, water and whatnot. Well, if you didn't pack everybody into such densely populated areas, then you wouldn't have that problem, because you'd have room to, for each person to have enough land to grow their own food right where they're at. You know, you'd have access to clean water directly under you, right there where you're at, without draining it to the point where other people are going without, you know, without lowering the water table locally.
Yeah, I understand that. But by compacting those people all up in there, not only are you making them more prone to sicknesses and stuff like that, you're also, they're also kind of crammed into an area where there's a whole lot of electrical disturbance from everything from telecommunications to Wi-Fi systems and stuff like that. I honestly don't think they really did a lot of research into these frequency ranges before you know, basically rushing them to market, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying that Wi-Fi is going to make you sick, but I do know that, you know, there are certain radio frequencies, even sound waves, it doesn't matter. There are certain sound waves that, like, for instance, some people aren't bothered by chalks going down a fingernails going down a chalkboard, but myself personally, that sends me to the roof. So I can understand how other people could be sensitive to other tones or frequencies, such as, you know, the low hum of a wind turbine buzzing around or something like that, you know. There are also, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but like when you're around a box fan, you know, you get that, it's a kind of a really, I don't know, it's almost a soothing tone to it that makes you tired.
You're thinking of white noise.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think. But in some instances, it doesn't seem so bad, but it seems like every time I'm around a box fan, if there's a box fan blowing around, you know, and it just makes me comfortable and want to go to sleep. And I don't know whether it's because of the noise, specific noise that that thing's putting out, or it's just, you know, a comfortable breeze blowing across, or what, but I do know that every time I get around one, I get sleepy. So, I think there is something to, you know, the effects of sound and stuff like that to people's, you know, physically feeling stuff. You know, it's like music. There's all kinds of music out there. There's some music that just nauseates the heck out of me. And there's some out there that will literally lift you up, you know, make you feel good, make you want to get up and dance, that kind of stuff. So what Tesla was doing back in the day, I mean, he learning all kinds of things about all types of different frequencies. Mostly he's in the high range, but he also knew that, you know, by resonating something right, getting it to the proper resonance, you could literally get it to vibrate and actually cause earthquakes if you wanted. And, you know, it was a big deal out there in the conspiracy world about the HARP project, about how they used to bounce energy off the upper ionosphere and cause all kinds of, you know, anomalies to go on. Thought somebody was trying to get in there. You want to add Jermaine to the call?
Yeah, give me a second.
All
right. I'm right in the middle of something, so I can't reach it right away.
All right, well, mute your mic for a sec then, because I'm hearing you rip your tape.
Huh?
That, okay. Yeah. That.
All right, give me a second.
All right, so, anyway, the same people out there complaining about the so-called climate change are the same people making it hard to get anything done about it. And, you know, the video that Stephen put in there about Nikola Tesla, man, Nikola Tesla had the ideas. He tried to give people free energy, but the energy and the information got suppressed. He's done a whole lot for society as far as alternating current and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I understand the physics of politics, so to speak, that when people want to make money or when they want to get elected and they need the right people to give them money to donate to their campaigns, they'll pretty much let just about anything go through. You know, the Environmental Protection Agency is supposed to be there to protect the environment, but if they're offered the right amount of money, they'll let things slide. You know, things that probably shouldn't have slid. There's a lot of things that made it into the, like, the Food and Drug Administration. There's a lot of things that made it onto the market probably should have never made it on the market. But they did. And it turned out later on, after more research, to have adverse health effects to people. And it's like pulling teeth trying to get the doggone thing back off the market. You know, you already got it in thousands of products, and so now it's making people sick. And, you know, you gotta gradually, I guess, wean people off of it. And I don't know, man. Life is a battlefield, and you know everybody's running around. It's all chaotic. The enemy's getting blown up, and the people are getting blown up, and everybody's running around like chickens with their head cut out and cut off. And somebody, some skinny old dude's running up into the crowd saying and shouting, "Can't we all just get along?" And somebody's saying, "It's every man for himself." And man, what a mess this world's in. If we can't resolve something simple as utilizing technology in a proper manner, that it's not going to make people physically ill, that's not going to help for advancement in society. So, over on the science side of the spectrum, people need to get their act together and be on the up and up, upfront and honest about everything that's going on so that, you know, those problems could be addressed. But you got like a ton of red tape that you got to go through to get anything done, and then you got a lot of propagandists out there trying to tell everybody the sky is falling and the world is coming to an end and all that kind of stuff. And you know, we got to save the planet from fossil fuels. But then on the other hand, you got those same people battling against the alternatives. You know, if there's a situation where these wind turbines are actually causing people to be physically ill, then that tells me that something needs to be engineered into that system to where if there's any noise that's coming off of it, it's changed to a higher frequency that's non-disturbing or, you know, remodified. You can do that, you know. If you could, you could design a flute that, depending on whichever hole you cover up, you get a different tone or note out of it. Then you can also design machinery that's rotating to also do the same exact thing. You could actually design them to where they wouldn't be able to put off any noise. And some of these noises that they're talking about, I guess, are like, you know, really below the human ear range, but they can still be picked up because of the vibration, the hum of the deal. You can actually still hear it. Noises that you can't audibly hear with your ear, if that makes any sense. You still around, Thomas? Nope, guess not. Alright, well, he's still there. He's probably got his mic muted. So, there are some things out there that need to be addressed as far as technology-wise. You know, a lot of people get frustrated because a guy like Nikola Tesla put a lot of really good ideas out there, a lot of technology for the world, and he didn't really seem to get the credit that he should have. He's still talked about to this very day, but mostly by people who's done research. You talk to some folks and they've never even heard of the man. They don't even know, you know, the things that he offered society. So, even in that realm, you can't, you know, I'm always saying credit, and you need to give credit where credit's due. And if there is a problem out there that needs resolution, then, you know, it's up to us, I guess, to make that resolution happen. Be able to get people to be able to live comfortably but safely as well. You know, I don't believe in climate change. Honestly, don't. You know, if there's a natural climate change, but I don't even want to mince words. You know, climate change to me has basically become like a taboo, a bad word. I don't even want to hear about it anymore, because nature spews out more carbon than man's ever even possibly capable of. And so, with that said, the numbers of what they're talking about and method by which they're saying that climate change due to man-made carbon emissions is just pure ridiculousness. And if you're worried about carbon emissions, then you could remodify all your machinery to literally be carbon-free. You know, on the Knights of the Round Table, we talk about all kinds of stuff, and even in alternative energy stuff, we talk about all kinds of things, political and, you know, alternative methods. But if you listen to any of the Mad Science Show, you've heard me many, many times talking about all different types of fuel systems and ways that we could actually modify them to run perfectly clean. I don't care if it's diesel, I don't care if it's coal or whatever, there's methods by which you can get a perfect burn on every single machine out there if it's properly engineered without all the waste. And so those are resolutions that we have the answers to. It's just going to take something more than sheer laziness in the engineering department, and it's going to take something past what the school book said. I get argued with all the time about people, with people about, when I say something like you can run an engine on water, man, you wouldn't believe the criticism that comes out. They'll tell you how crazy you are. It's not possible. But if you understand basic science and the physics of water itself, splitting water in half, you got two flammable elements. So water is fuel. And you know that if you do certain things to water, you can get water to boil. Water is the most stable molecule, but it's also one of the most destructive molecules out there. Has a lot of energy built up in it. And so being able to use everything that you know in basic science to basically utilize that water to do what water does when you run it through different temperatures. You know, you can heat with it, you can cool with it. You can do a lot. Some of the methods that they talk about, like, you know, breaking the water down using the electrolysis process. They talk about how, well, that's inefficient because you have to put in more energy than you'll ever get out using electrolysis. Well, then don't use electrolysis. Stan Myers didn't use electrolysis. used radio waves to literally vibrate the water molecule until it split itself apart. And that didn't take a lot of power to do. Once again, that technology got suppressed. You know? And there's other technologies out there just like it. There's other people who's done it. It hasn't just been Stan Myers. And they do run cars and trucks and tractors and stuff on hydrogen technology. But it's not mainstream at this point in the game, when maybe it should be. Somebody will flash a picture of the Hindenburg and say, see what hydrogen gets you, you don't want to use this. And groups like the Mythbusters do a show and they show, well, you know, they say you can run your car on water, and they'll make a big joke out of it, and then they'll actually put hydrogen directly down into the carburetor without no flashback arrestor, and then they'll get a flashback and they'll say, see how dangerous it is, that's why you don't do this. And you'd have to have a tanker this big in order to be able to be the equivalent of what's in the gasoline. So it's dishonest reporting, disinformation campaigns, and all kinds of different reasons why not to use something that you know will work. And so we can't get past all this. And even in wind power, you know, if you've got these huge wind farms that are basically disturbing somebody, but somehow or another, because of money that was sent into the city or the state or the local jurisdiction or whatever, they, you know, allow this to come through and build them right in front of people's houses and stuff like that, and people are feeling claustrophobic or nauseous because of the low tone that is put off on that, that just goes to show you it's all down to sheer greed. But once again, that problem right there is it also the an attitude to the other problem about the whole so-called climate change. How are you going to resolve a problem when no matter what you put out there in front of people, they're not satisfied? They're not going to wanting no windmills anywhere near their property. And like Thomas was mentioning, maybe it's a case that they just put them all too doggone close, basically making like a giant whistle effect, you know, and making these things actually have to work harder to themselves in order to generate power, because, you know, it's not evenly dispersed or whatever. But the companies putting these things up, they don't care about all that stuff. They don't want information coming out saying that this could even be remotely harmful. And personally, I don't know whether it is or it isn't, because I have this, like I said, this is the first time I've ever even heard of infrasound in this particular area, like wind power, stuff like that. Now, I don't discount it, because I know enough about science to understand that there are certain tones that will make you feel bad. You know, there's certain frequencies out there that'll make you feel bad. There's certain frequencies that'll make you energized. You know, Tesla was into a lot of that stuff. There's even research by Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, who knew that you could literally target specific bacteria, leaving the one beside it in perfect health, because it was at a different frequency range than the one you didn't want. So there's a lot of really highly advanced capabilities, potential there for technology to literally bring us into the future, have us using energy in a completely different fashion than what we do today, without all the health effects. And the research has already been there about different tones that bother people, and so you could literally test for these tones to see if there's going to be any potential. We got equipment to test for any radiation. We got equipment to test for any potential X-rays or gamma rays or anything like that that could potentially be harmful. And, you know, even if it was a small device and it did send out some of these rays, there's materials out there to literally block these type of rays. So it's all in the engineering, as far as I'm concerned. There's no reason why we can't use these technologies safely without bothering people. And if these huge wind turbines are bothering people, then, you know, I'd say re-engineer them. Do it differently. There's other methods. Find out what's best in whichever environment you've got to work with. These companies want to make a lot of money, so they rush out there and they do these things. And there's lobbyists on both sides of the group, pros and cons of each. And we don't want you to do this because it puts solar panels up, it blocks out our sunlight, or, you know, makes the neighborhood look terrible or whatever. But you gotta start to wonder what the heck is going on. If the world is in the pending doom that all the Chicken Littles are running around saying the sky is falling, and the government ain't taking it serious, and the people are divided against everything, somewhere in the middle there's the truth. It either is harmful or it isn't harmful. You need to get to the bottom of it and find the resolutions. That's what we're here to talk about, looking for any resolutions. So you got any thoughts there, Thomas, or are you still busy? I could see him. Anyway, we got a lot of capabilities, we got a lot of potentials, the research is out there available, we can resolve this issue scientifically, physically. It's just, man, I tell you, it's like so frustrating to get out here and talk and talk and talk and talk about all the different issues out there in the world. Knowing that we got the answers and the technology to resolve all the issues, the education system has dropped the ball as far as I'm concerned. Maybe it's a deliberate dumbing down of the population to get people to be able to still have power and money. But if the average Joe doesn't never decide to stand up and take a stand for moving us forward, we're stuck in mud. We're stuck right dead in the rut. We're standing here right now with all kinds of information and the potential to literally start moving forward into the future. We're at the crossroads. It's up to we, the people, to do something about it. So, Thomas, was that waving for me, or was it... No. All right, well... I'm just trying to get a grip on what's going on out here. I'm trying to figure out why it is that the governments of the world keep saying that, on one hand, oh, everything's all good, we got things under control, and then on the other hand, oh, the sky's falling, and you gotta reduce your carbon footprint, cause, the planet's boiling, and all the ice is melting off, and, you know, you got researchers on both sides of the fence, and mostly researchers on the negative side of the fence that say that climate change is a big hockahooey, but those are not the ones that get heard on mainstream media because there's an agenda on these different types of media outlets. They want clean, renewable energy, but then once again, back to the whole it's making noise and making us sick kind of thing. So... at some point, somebody's got to give here. You know, we got to get some sort of resolution. We've been using AC current for quite some time. Seems like everybody's doing fine with AC current. And there's other technologies like Wi-Fi that people say is questionable. That sometimes people think Wi-Fi is being used not only as a way to tap into your brain and make you act like a fool or make you sad or mad or whatever. Don't discount that possibility. Now, I'm sure you've heard a few songs in your life that got you all excited, and you heard a few songs that got you all depressed, and some of that could be attributed to the lyrics, but a lot of it could be attributed to the tones and the way that those tones are raised and lowered at a certain time to get you energized, bring you up or bring you down. So the scientific proof is already there that people are affected by different frequency ranges out there, different sound waves and stuff. There was actually a documentary about a sign that you could walk by, you could see the sign. You couldn't audibly hear nothing from the sign, but you could still hear somebody talking. And people were looking around trying to figure out, where in the heck is that voice coming from? Well, it was actually coming from the sign, but it was being transmitted in a different fashion than what they were accustomed to hearing. It wasn't like an audible acoustic type sound coming through a speaker or microphone or whatever. But they could still hear it. So your mind is actually like a radio transmitter slash receiver. And if you're going to move forward into the future of technology, you need to be aware that there's all these potentials out here. You think the governments wouldn't utilize something if they could sit there and... there's actually... it was said that during the Iraq War, the first Iraq War or whatever, when they went up against the Republican Guard of Iraq, and it was said that... and I don't know if it's real or just a conspiracy theory or whatever, they said that they used a piece of equipment at that time that literally sent out some waves that made the soldiers on the other side in fear of their life, and they surrendered in droves. Basically came over and was giving the soldiers a hug and saying, "We surrender, you know, peace," and all that kind of stuff. That's a powerful weapon. If you can manipulate your enemy like that, make them afraid to even fight, you didn't even have to fire a shot and they're giving up. You know, that's, what can you say about it? But if that was being used on the people, Stephen typed in ELF, extremely low frequencies. There was actually some energy weapons that they showed where they had this big old burly Marine guy try to stand there as long as he can while they fired this thing. And it just made him feel like he was extremely uncomfortable and on fire, and so he couldn't stand there for more than a few seconds because of the range of that frequency had been going at him. So we're stepping in not only the potential of the modern era is like advancement in society, technological wise, but military wise, as far as these modern high tech weapons that could do some crazy stuff. That's not science fiction, that's science fact, folks. You know, that's stuff like you see on Star Wars and, you know, all those space shows like that. People being able to use weapons and maybe non-lethal, or maybe, I guess if you ramp this thing up, it could be lethal. You know, microwave ovens, they boil water using microwaves. Now, a microwave gun in the conventional sense isn't plausible because that wave doesn't stay a microwave very long as it starts ramming into the atmosphere. But if it was ramped up and the frequency was sent out in pulses and those frequencies were bashing into the one behind it, and you could actually send them out farther, than you could literally build a microwave gun that would boil somebody to death. Which seems to me like that'd be a terrible way to go. Should be illegal or something. But nonetheless, it is possible. You know, it's not plausible at this stage in the game because nobody's developed one that we know of, a microwave gun that can get past a few feet, like inside your microwave oven, that wave doesn't travel very far. But in the general area where it's at, it will boil water. And if you leave it on too long, it'll boil the water into steam. And pretty soon, you know, you can literally set fire to your food in the deal because it gets so dehydrated and dried out. And microwaves have a lot of potential. But a lot of different frequency ranges out there that we use for everything under the sun, man. Even including bringing energy waves in from the sun to generate electricity. So, how are we going to get... who's that one there? That's Thomas. Huh. Alright, so how are we going to get society's act together? I don't know. Everybody's running around like crazy people. You got the people saying the sky is falling. You got the other people wanting to protest over everything under the sun, including the sun, protesting wind power, protesting the lack of wind power, protesting save the planet, and protesting save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign. Folks, we don't have an energy crisis. We got a common sense crisis. And somehow or another, we got to spread common sense to the masses, to the extreme, and get everybody to realize that you need to pay better attention in science in order to understand what's going on. I'm sitting here watching Skype trying to figure out what the heck is going on in there. Thomas, you back yet? You left me hanging, man. Alright, so...
You gotta make up your mind. Either mute my mic or I don't mute my mic. I can't do both.
Well, I was only talking about whenever you was down there...
Still your, making noise, man.
With your... Quick, quick,
quick, quick. I'm still making noise.
Alright. Well...
World doesn't stop for, you know...
Under the bus down there where you're sitting right now, making noise, putting duct tape on the muffler... You got any comments on extremely low frequencies?
No, I don't even understand why we're talking about this, man.
Oh, okay.
Seems like a waste of time, man. It's just an excuse to not move forward, you know?
Well, I'm just trying to get a grip on why it is that people still not getting this situation resolved.
Yeah, how many of those people complaining about those effects have smart meter nearby them too, and they're not taking that into account?
I don't know. That's something that everybody needs to get together and try to find out. Look, they got... I just saw it yesterday.
Dude, that's almost a given. If you've got an industrial windmill somewhere nearby, or a farm of windmills generating power... Then they've also gone through the trouble to update all of the meters to enforce everybody to go into smart meters. And there is a lot of complaining about those, too. And not just in areas where they have windmills.
What frequency range are the smart meters putting off?
It's not a matter of the range. It's not sound. They're putting out microwaves.
Oh,
and
see?
And they're back of your house. And it's powerful enough in order to communicate long distance.
Yikes. Well, doggone it. It's crazy, man.
So I would say anybody who's out there who's experiencing any kind of discomfort and you think it's from a windmill, check to see if you have a smart meter, and if you do, put up some RF filters over that thing so that it blocks anything that might be coming from it into your house, and then see if you're still having the same problem.
Well, using... I was out on eBay just looking around on different things, and actually kind of jumping back between eBay and YouTube, and I saw this one deal about micro cameras that are hidden in public restrooms and stuff, and I'm like, what? So I go look at this thing, and it shows how tiny these cameras are, and it also said that you could actually go out and buy a spy detector that will detect hidden cameras and microphones and stuff. And so I get on eBay, and ironically enough, they're out there, and they're pretty doggone cheap. You can buy these things, and you know, about $12, you can buy one of these deals where you can aim it around to see if anybody's got a hidden camera, or you know, RF signals coming off of a small transmitter and stuff. So we got the digital equivalents of ways to go out and test for any frequency ranges that are around you, and then you can actually find out, like, I got these wireless AC testers where you can put them anywhere close to, you know, AC wall outlet, don't even have to be touching it, and it'll pick up a signal and let you know how far that signal's coming out of that socket.
Right.
So... My suggestion...
Everything has to be considered. Anytime you start feeling like there's something wrong, you have to do your research in everything. And I don't mean read up on it only. You got to do the physical research, too. Do the testing. So
Stephen Gibbons posted a video in the chat room, microwave weapons used in Iraq. So, you know, maybe the military has already perfected microwave weapons. You know, where I was saying that your average microwave ain't necessarily going to be good for a weapon. There's ways to modify it where you could. But
right. Well, the other thing, too, not to get too far down the rabbit hole on that, is that a lot of these windmills that are up are government subsidized, so they had a certain amount of time to put them up. They didn't have, and they had to have it approved, which means it had to be an older technology to have time to be approved or not. Because there's much better windmill technology out there than what those ones are complaining about, the low sound wave frequencies coming off of. So.
Yeah, my friend's got some that he bought from Missouri Wind and Solar, and ironically enough, those things are fairly reasonable in price nowadays. And I'm thinking of buying me some, but these are more like an open housing, permanent magnet generators. And mm-hmm. So I don't see the potential of them, these pretty much open housings like this, being able to, you know, sound like a whistle. I mean, it might to some range or something like that, but I stood next to these things. They didn't bother me any. And they get along pretty good. They come in like 5-blade and 9-blade for like low wind and high wind usage. And so I'm sure that, like you said, there's other technologies out there, other more advanced wind turbines. These things that they're showing on there, they're giant, man. And sure, that big old giant blade, you know, whipping through the air slow, that's going to put off some sound. Maybe it could be a case of they just remodify the doggone blades to not, you know, be in that range. You see what I mean?
Right.
He said the microwave used in Iraq that can cause problems trying to block the signals from... Oh. Said something about that can cause problems trying to block the signal from smart meters. People are putting metal and aluminum foil over them, and the microwaves are heating the metal and causing fires. Oh, crud. If your house gets burned down by a smart meter, that ain't very smart. Pardon the pun there. Man. So, doggone it, man, in the quest to try to maintain their power structure as far as energy and energy usage, they come out with these nifty meters that are now putting out microwaves. That's nuts. I wonder if somebody put some popcorn on one of these smart meters and see if it'll pop the popcorn. You think it will? Thomas? No? Man, chirp, chirp, squeak, squeak. I feel so alone here.
They're really demanding.
Huh?
You're demanding like that little child that throws a fit and kicks if they don't get exactly what they want when they want it.
No, it's that just brief moment of silence there that's just terrible for radio.
Very brief moment, and you're making a big deal out of a very brief moment. The whole wind turbine thing, maybe they're complaining about a brief instant of sound.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't live next to a windmill farm.
They hear it one instant and it suddenly, you know, it's the most tragic thing that's ever happened in their entire life.
Well, that one particular lady in there, she was pretty disturbed about it. She was all crying and everything, talking about she can't even work in her garden anymore because it's just too disturbing to her. And to her, it might be real.
Do you have the same empathy for the people who are throwing a fit and crying and saying their life is over when Trump got elected?
Well, to them, it might be real.
There's some pretty salty tears out there over who's elected and who's not, you know?
Well, I attribute that to a whole lot of propaganda out there. There are people telling people that this guy is going to damage the world. He's going to get us in a nuclear war. He's going to basically send everybody out of the country and all this kind of jazz. So, we got to get down to the brass tacks of everything, man. We got to get down to the truth of it all. It's just... this world, maybe it's just too messed up. Maybe there ain't no fixing it. I don't know. Should I just stop doing this? Should I just stop talking about it? Gotta be something. I mean, if this is all just a waste of time, then ain't no purpose in it. If you can't...
I'll tell you what's a waste of time is whining.
Whining?
Definition of whining is coming to the table with a complaint about something without any solutions. So let's flip the coin and let's talk about the actual solutions themselves now for a bit.
I'm shocked. I mean, I like just gave a bunch of solutions. You re-engineer it, and you don't...
That's not a solution.
Sure it is.
That's saying, hey, let's find a solution.
That's the only solution. You re-engineer it to where it ain't making a sound. You know, if that sound is causing people, if the low frequency is causing people problems, you re-engineer it so it don't. There's ways to do it.
Hold on. If re-engineer it is a solution, then write a book is a novel. You understand what I'm saying?
Look, there are certain types of materials.
Right, that's not a solution.
Why don't you pay attention for a second? There are certain types of materials out there that, when rotated, will vibrate to certain tones. You take a piece of sheet metal. You can literally take a piece of sheet metal and you can bow it in and out, and you can get this sheet metal to make noise. You can take a old saw. They've done it in music world. They take this saw and a little mallet, and they can play tunes on a saw, a metal saw, just by bowing it over, all right? Well, the same thing can be done with a mechanical device. If this mechanical device spinning at a certain amount of RPMs in the wind is causing a whistle noise, then you modify that machine to either be a slight different shape to where it's cutting through the wind in a different manner, thus far cutting down that whistle noise, or you pad that material to where it can't vibrate to create that sound. So, yeah, re-engineering is definitely, without a doubt, a solution. Now, it's a painting with a wide brush. There's so many different things that you could do it just by changing the angle of the blades could be the solution.
You're still missing my point, though. Re-engineered is not what any of those things you just said. Those are specific engineering solutions. Re-engineer it is just, you know, like a go-to. You know what I mean? It's a starting point. It's like saying that this is a journey if you just took one step. That's not a journey. That's only the first step. Let's talk about the actual solutions. That's what I was trying to get to.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, that is an actual solution.
Hey, I've already thrown something out there. And after doing a little bit of research online, I found that people have actually already taken it to heart and put it into practice, where you put a vertical axis together that you block the wind and redirect it from the side that creates drag, slowing down the blades that are spinning around, so that way you get full potential of all of that energy, all focused on the side that gives push and no resistance to pull, you know?
Well, isn't that an engineering solution?
But that is a solution. That's not just, let's just re-engineer.
Well, sure. But by modifying the blades, that's re-engineering it.
You're saying take a journey. But I'm saying let's start looking at the actual destinations.
Man, we're mincing words here. You walk up to the thing with a decibel meter.
Is that always a go-to to get out of dealing with a situation? Oh, you're just talking semantics.
We walk up to the thing with a decibel meter, and we can measure the sound waves coming off that, and we can actually know what range that sound wave's in.
Well, right? If you build smaller units and put more of them out there, it'll change the frequency too.
Well, sure.
A real solution. You know, re-engineer.
I'm confused here because I'm sitting here telling you a real solution, and I guess we're not meeting in the middle as far as what we're talking about here.
Stuck when you're saying that re-engineered is a solution. That's not a solution.
Well, get over that piece of terminology, because all I'm talking about is going out there modifying it.
Because that's like saying I have to get over the fact that I don't have a tool that I need to complete a task. That's like telling a bricklayer, get over the fact you don't have bricks to build this building.
No.
Yeah,
but you could go out there with something as simple as a box knife, shave down a few millimeters of material off of that blade, and change the tone of that blade. That's as simple as that.
Except that the blade was engineered for the most efficient use of the wind around it. You shave a little off it, it's no longer engineered to work properly. So you're sacrificing capability over, you know, a side effect that it creates, instead of just moving it away from people then. You know, get it away from people.
Well, yeah, that would be, I guess, a plus. You can move it away. That's also a solution.
But then they're going to complain about it affecting the environment around it, too. Like birds and stuff like that. Like, they won't adapt and just move away from it.
Look, you either want to save the planet or you don't want to save the planet. Either way, you got to either give and take or something. Something's got to give here. You can't keep complaining about everything in the world and not resolving nothing. Somebody wants
to just move back into caves.
Maybe. Somebody
climb back in the trees and sleep on a limb so that things don't eat us while we're, you know, we're asleep at night.
Maybe. But somebody wants to make money off of windmills, and somebody doesn't want the windmills in front of their house, and so put the mediator in between the two of them, say, look, you don't want the windmills in front of your house, but you want to make money off your windmills. There's a piece of land due west of us right there where nobody lives. Put it over there. Problem solved. Doggone it, man. If your windmill's chopping up the birds, and put a cage around it. We don't got to go back up in here and live in the trees. I don't think I ever lived in the trees anyway. I ain't no monkey. Maybe I look like one, but I ain't no monkey. I didn't evolve from no monkey. That's all there is to it. I'm from outer space. Get that right.
Oh, okay. You're a space monkey.
Yeah, I'm. What's that one space ghost? That cartoon, long time ago. All right.
Space poop.
This is a non-productive Knights of the Round Table today. We're not productive. We're not efficient. We need to be re-engineered.
you need to have proper tools in order to get a job done. You don't, like Raymond has said, you don't lay pipe with, or what did he say, man? You don't, what is it? God, I can't even remember now. He was talking about something and using a claw hammer to do it, and that's, of course, totally the wrong tool. And all you're going to do is break stuff with that.
Well, the way I look at it,
of course, the answer that everybody seems to go to is get a bigger hammer. Get a bigger hammer. You know, if your argument isn't sound enough, if it doesn't stand logically on its own, shout it louder. Shout it louder. That's brainwashing and gaslighting.
If you do something, then at least something gets done. But if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. Period.
Sometimes nothing getting done actually is better than something getting done, though.
Man, I need to get you on the Jerry Springer show.
You need to go be on the Jerry Springer show with your mom.
Mad scientist against mad scientist. Mano y mano on Jerry Springer. Jerry! Oh, man.
No, but seriously, I mean, listen, man, the most important tool that we have, the very first tool that we have when it goes beyond a single individual, is communication. So to just say, oh, that's just semantics, is completely undermining the most powerful tool that we have as a community, which is communication.
All right, so I need to put out a disclaimer to everybody.
Important, okay? Terminology is important.
I don't have
transmit ideas from, like you were talking about that dream. You said, I'm going to come up with a device so I can send my dreams out to other people. Why do you have to do that? You already have that tool. It's called communication. It's called language. You know? You can transmit that to the whole world by just describing your dream with words. If
sure,
you use the words and don't just throw words around willy-nilly.
Sure,
you know?
But didn't you ever see Back to the Future when Doc Brown come to the door and he had that doggone metal can on top of his head?
Yeah, and what was the last thing he said about it before he tossed it on the ground?
He said it doesn't work.
Exactly.
But nonetheless...
You know what this means? He's like, yeah, I'm coming from the future. No, this means this damn thing doesn't work. Throws it on the ground. Out of frustration, you know?
All right, well... Maybe mine will work. I just think everybody needs to see it or hear it or something. Just once. That's all you need.
Because you're trying to overcome a lack of the proper terminology?
Well, I tried to put a disclaimer out. Look, I don't have all the high-tech terminology. My brain is mechanical.
Hey, we don't need high-tech terminology. We just need to be precise with what terminology we actually do have.
All right, so instead of saying re-engineering, I'm going to say modify. Modify, that's simple.
But no, that's fine, but that is not the solution.
It is for
that's just saying that we need a solution. It's a statement. That's all it is.
I'm saying...
A solution, when you said about shaving this stuff off of that actually is a solution. It might not be the right solution, but that actually is a solution. So, re-engineer isn't a solution, because, like you said, it's a wide-peaking brush of an option.
Well, Stephen said the solution to noisy wind turbines is we don't need them. Problem solved. Put a link out there for a U.S. patent out there. Let me see what this is right here. Apparatus for the utilization of radiant energy. See, Nikola Tesla had a patent just like that. Look.
Well, it's that design that I put out. We're literally using just sheets that are coated with similar material.
All right. Well, we got to come to some sort of understanding. All right. Here's the way I see it. I'm not a wealthy man, and so whenever I go out to do an experiment, I usually turn around and I try to find things that I can recycle, repurpose, to utilize in order to make something to show people how to do something.
Stop right there. You can continue in a minute. That's why I try to engineer everything that I do with stuff that anybody can get their hands on. Now continue.
Now... The way that it should be done and the way that it has to be done because of my financial limitations and my skill set limitations is that I do it a certain way. And so whenever I assess the situation at any given moment, doesn't matter what the situation is, I look around and I see my resources. What do I have available? It's kind of like the MacGyver episode where he picks a piece of chewing gum, puts it in his mouth, and he takes the wrapper, and he uses the wrapper for a fuse in order to resolve that situation because he knows that metal will, off the wrapper, conduct across there, and because of the thinness of the aluminum that's actually on that wrapper, that it can still burn in half and not burn the wiring up. So he had the brilliance to utilize the resources available to him at any given time. And so when you hear me talking about solutions, I'm talking to you in a poor man's view. I don't have the capabilities of going and printing or re-carving something. So I'm going to take and I'm going to utilize whatever I got. If all I got is a doggone straight razor that I can sit there and shave down each end of it, make them balanced out the same size on each side, then that is the only solution I got. But that one solution basically changed the tone of that thing whipping through the air to maybe enough, just enough where maybe it's not as efficient as it was initially designed for, but it's still running, it's still working good enough for me. and it ain't making that noise, it's driving me insane. So, that's why I say what I say. Now, if there's a better solution out there, if there's somebody out there who can make these things right from the factory to resolve the noise issue to where nobody's bothered by it, and if they put them in the proper area where it's away from people to begin with, you know, then you ain't got that issue. Of course, then, bam, right out of the woodwork, here comes somebody saying, look, all the animals are running up out of the bushes because you're scaring the crud out of them with your windmills. Well, what are you going to do then? There are other technologies out there, but this specific one has to do with wind power. Solar power has its own drawbacks because if you live in certain communities, they don't want you having the solar panels everywhere. They say it looks gaudy and people don't want to see it, you know. You got to have all your houses the same color, your grass the same height, and don't put no toilet out there as a flower pot because they don't find it amusing.
You know what I said to them? Your face is gaudy. We don't need it in this community either.
There's a song out there that says you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
I'd say you can't please everyone, but you can make everybody angry, so.
Well, doggone it. The world said they had an energy crisis. So I stepped forward and I started showing them things. And I said, "There, well, don't have an energy crisis. The world's got a common sense crisis. The world said that the doggone planet was heating up because of man-made carbon emissions. I disagreed. I stepped forward. I offered solutions on the table. I offered all kinds of research available. And same thing.
You know what you got right now?
Failure to communicate.
No, you personally have a common sense crisis right now because you keep insisting that because you led the horse to water, it just has to drink from it.
Well,
stop expecting that, and you might not be so disappointed. Instead, you'll be pleasantly surprised when it does work out to your favor, and not be as disappointed whenever it doesn't.
Well, if people's sick out there,
you're a horse. You drink. Maybe other horses will figure it out and drink with you once they see you drinking from it. You know what I mean?
Well, I suppose.
And don't let it stress you out that the world's not doing what you want them to do.
No, I just think I'm wasting my time. That's it. I think I'm just wasting my time. I think I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my money. I'm wasting my breath. There's no reason to get on here and say what it is that I say. There's no purpose in it. It's a complete and utter waste of time because there's always some reason why nothing will work. You know, they talk about people in the alternative community all the time as shields, and they'll come in there and they'll disrupt everything under the sun in order to, you know, steer everybody away from a potential solution to an ongoing problem. Government people going out there agitating, starting fights on both sides of the fence so that nobody will ever get anything resolved.
Well, I told you before, man, that the most top game changer a single individual can release into the world, the most disruptive to any kind of problem that's out there, is technology. And the easiest thing to go to, because it's still fresh in everybody's mind, is the MP3 and how it affected the music industry and the corruption that was within that. You know, the extortion that they treated their artists with. The internet is another one. I mean, that gave those artists the ability to break free of the music industry and the shackles that it had over them, you know? If you want to go a little further back, for those who actually know, you know, from their history lessons and whatnot, the whole world was in a state where we were dealing with slavery. And we shifted from one type of slavery to another because things still had to be done. So we went from ownership slavery to wage slavery. Something that broke us free from a vast portion of that was the combine and the cotton gin. You know, a piece of technology. One person came up with an idea maybe they got together with a couple other people and they assembled the first one, and the idea, once shown in practice to work, spread like a virus and changed the world. Getting somebody to legislate a change in the world will never work. All it does is makes things worse. But creating a solution and putting it into practice so that others will then do the same thing changes everything. No. There's no going back once you do that. Once you leave that genie out of the bottle, it's over.
I'm just one man. I can only do what I can do. But the whole purpose of this radio show is to put ideas on the table.
Well, then that works.
In hopes that people...
You're doing something, but you're not... You know, stop worrying so much about the politics of it, and let's just focus on the solutions, you know? I think you'll feel a lot healthier.
It's the politics that's killing it.
I wish we could have got money on this. Those topics are fine.
It's the politics.
If we can keep it focused on talking about the turbines.
It's the politics and the craziness of the people out there who are ignoring all the potential solutions, resolutions to all the problems out there that are the problem. It ain't the carbon emissions that's causing problems in this world. It's the knuckleheads running around shouting the sky is falling when it ain't that's causing problems in the world.
Hey, that's a carbon emission.
What, the knuckleheads shouting that the sky is falling?
Yeah, that's a lot of hot air, man.
Sure it is.
Carbon dioxide.
Well, I've put the call out to everybody and his brother out there. Bring your friends. Bring the people with solutions to the microphone. Let's get up here on the round table. Let's throw it out there, man. Let's get everything started. Let's motivate it. You know what? I said one time, I'm a terrible salesman. Like, I ain't even going to repeat what I said before. But it had to do with a gold tooth.
Well, I'm going to say,
yeah, I'm not even going to repeat it. But nonetheless, I couldn't sell it.
Hey, being a radio show host ain't too far removed from being a salesman, though.
Well...
Still using communication to affect emotion in order to create actual motion in the real world.
Just not very good at it, apparently, because I ain't been able to get nothing moving forward. It's like we're stuck in a rut. You get people excited. All right, we're gonna work on this, and then
I don't believe you, man. I don't believe you for a second. You know why? Because my eyes tell me that from having seen the stuff I've seen that you have caused some things to happen.
Well, hopefully I'll keep on then.
You just gotta, yeah, exactly. You just gotta keep pushing.
It's, I was told there was a problem. I'm here to help, you know. I ain't here to take over. I'm not a leader, not a salesman. I'm just a guy with a lot of ideas. I understand things a bit different than people out there in the world. And if my ideas mixed with your ideas and everybody else we can get to the table finally gets a resolution that pleases everybody, that's what I'm here for, you know? If I was here to get rich, I failed. If I was here to get famous, I failed. Miserably. And, you know, if I had everything I needed, there's a whole lot of ifs to the deal. If I had everything I needed, we wouldn't even have this conversation. You just go to my Mad Science channel and you'd see video after video after video of all kinds of devices. I would never stop building. I would keep on building and building, and I'd let those people run off of those designs and sell them and patent them and steal them or whatever. I don't care. You know? But it ain't like that. I got to go out and I got to find things that I believe the average Joe can get a hold of. Like them direct drive washing machines. Are you going to run your house off of that? No, not the way it is and not the way it's utilized. But nonetheless, it is a solution. It is a generator right out of the box. And even when people think that those things are bad, looks like a lost Thomas there. Even when people think things are bad, you know, there's always something there. Huh. He's redoing the call. Alright.
You're breaking up for some reason.
Yeah.
Lost the call.
I don't doubt it. That's technology for you. Anyway, basically, yeah. Look. If there's an apocalypse...
There's some wind in the mountains right now, too.
Huh?
Got some wind or some, you know, fuzz noise in the background suddenly now, too.
No, I don't know. It's probably my heater. Let me throw something over the top of that microphone and maybe it'll muffle it. How's that? Is that better? Is that better?
It's helping a little bit. It's still crackly like there's something...
Well, I can't help that, and this is terrible for live radio.
Well, it's even worse, though, if it's recording like that. That's
no, it's
why
not.
Up to whatever that's it was, if we get a clean recording.
The recording's a completely different microphone. And
wow.
Look, I got to get some better high-tech stuff. This is duct tape and baling wire in its finest. I do what I can with what I got to work with. If all I got's a doggone road comb...
Right, you missed... So earlier you were perfectly fine. Everything was crystal clear and working just great. You know, it was just like a recent development right before the call dropped. So
I don't know. It's probably
so by the time we got you back, I kind of figured because the call dropped, maybe something was all next or something.
I have no idea. All right, so back on track again. Alright, there's things out there that you can utilize in worst case scenario to at least keep some lights on and potentially some batteries charged in the fan. That is a poor man's best case solution for the time. Now I say we can literally take what we got existing technology, modify it, or even re-engineer it, whichever part of that you like, and make them run better. Make them more efficient. If you have something that's running 100% efficient, then you've got something that people can afford to run. And until those kind of solutions can actually be put into a physical device that you can set on the table, then there's always going to be criticism and ridicule and people saying it ain't going to work. It can't work. It defies the laws of physics. It's not going to work. They'll find every single excuse under the sun not to resolve it. And so the reason why I even brought up these whole wind turbine issue today on the Knights of the Round Table was not because I don't like the idea of wind power. It's because if something's going on where it's making people sick, then that means that something needs to be resolved. It's technology that's good technology because the wind's blowing. Put a different wind blade on it. Put a different way to utilize it. Something. These companies out there that put these things up, they don't care if it's going to aggravate you. They just want to, it's the bottom line. They want to make some money off of it. If you got smart meters out there that are aggravating people, then you need to resolve that situation with the power company or tell the power company, take the smart meter and your electricity on down the road. I don't need it. The average Joe ain't going to do that. They're going to tolerate the smart meter. They're going to tolerate having to go over there and turn the light switch on and pay somebody for the pleasure of having lights in their house. Now, my resolution as a poor man was that if I don't want to pay the electric man money, then I'll use whatever existing technology is available, and I'll take one light off the power grid every month until I've got them all off the power grid. When I got it to where I could run my entire house, then I won't be paying them no money at all. So where there is a will, there is a way. And the quote from Henry Ford says, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. It holds a lot of water around here. Because if you don't think it can be done, then obviously you're not going to even attempt it, and it's not going to happen. An engine properly designed will run off of any type of fuel, as long as it was designed specifically for that type of fuel. it will function just like I said it would. There are solutions out there. There's techniques that you can look at. There's all over the doggone internet. There's patent after patent. There's designs and plans and documentations and whatever. Man, I should have just took the day off. It's as simple as that. I should have just took the day off. As the more I get to doing this, the more I just like get frustrated. I spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and money trying to bring to the table ideas that I even wrote the President of the United States a letter. I got the right there posted on the doggone website. There's a letter to the President of the United States. I never got a response. I wrote a letter to TEPCO offering assistance in any kind of ideas or solutions to resolve the issue over the Fukushima plant. Years ago when the BP oil spill was going on, I wrote a letter to them as well. Offered them ideas and solutions. Maybe my ideas aren't the best ideas. Maybe my ideas might even be wrong. But I'm having to say it's better than none. If you do something, then at least something gets done. If you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. So I put this platform together, offered everyone out there to come to the microphone, be one of the Knights of the Round Table, be one of the honorary Knights of the Round Table, jump on Skype, get on here, talk about the ideas, talk about the solutions, talk about the problems in the world and how we're going to resolve it. And it's frustrating. It's flat out frustrating. Maybe I'm just impatient. Maybe I'm just crazy. Because I see there's a potential for a better world out there. And I'm telling everybody what I believe the answers are. And like Thomas said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I ain't trying to make nobody drink. I'm just showing them where the water is. The rest is up to you. It's right there. The water is right there. It's right there in front of you. If you're thirsty, you know where it's at. And if something's making you sick, then either move it away from you, or move yourself away from it, or redesign it so that it's not. There's ways to do it. Mighty carves his own props out of 2x4s. 2x4s are used to build studs, house, walls, whatever. But he carves them, he makes windmills out of them. That's a solution. He just repurposed something that wasn't even meant to be a blade, repurposed it into something useful. We presented that to you as well. We presented to you every single somebody from the Knights of the Round Table's calling. Doggone it. See who's in there trying to call. Alright. We presented all these potential solutions to you. There's over 400 podcasts out there with all kinds of ideas, with everything under the sun. You'll even hear us arguing over high-tech terminology and the lack thereof, which frustrates me because I'm not a high-tech terminology kind of guy.
John, look, might have been Barry trying to call.
Well, add him to the call.
Well, hold on. He says he's still typing. He hasn't finished typing whatever it is he's doing. he's running to get coffee, so. Said something about joining for the second hour.
Sure, but who does that? Who calls from the Knights of the Round Table with everybody and his brother on there instead of just throwing the thumbs up to get added to the call?
You don't know how to do that? You keep saying you can't find the show all the time.
So. Oh. All right, well, I've got a headache 750 trillion miles wide. I got frustrated.
Didn't take no ass?
Huh?
Didn't take no Advil?
No. But here I am. I think I'm going to take a coffee break. I think I'm going to throw on some Soggy Bottom Boys and some Lynyrd Skynyrd. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Throw some tunes on and let's get reorganized.
Yeah.
By then, he'll be back.
All right, folks, you're listening to the...
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fairly well, my only lover. I never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunday Valley for many years though I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that is given, I'll meet you on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
And it's been the road. to change the turbo on the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join into the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one, but three separate chat rooms. So, okay. They're getting that resolved. So anyway, like I'm sure you can hear, there's a little bit of frustration in my tone today, and I'm kind of aggravated because I just don't think that things are moving along. You know, it's frustrating to listen to the mainstream media. It's frustrating to listen to the alternative media. It's frustrating to listen to anything out there that's like continuous negative bombardment. The world's coming to an end. Doomsday's right around the corner. Planet X is coming in to blast us. The climate's all crudded and we're all going to drown like fish and whatever. The fish don't drown, though. They can suffocate. But nonetheless. So, looks like you're adding somebody to the call there. Alright, well, anyway, like I said,
I'm going to start adding everybody to the call, man.
There's a lot of potential being overlooked, a lot of technology being undermined or suppressed. And heck, I even got yelled at for saying they're suppressed. What technology's been suppressed? There ain't been no technology suppressed. Sure, there's technology suppressed. That's how they make money. They give you the iPhone 5 and the iPhone 6 is already out. They wait till iPhone 6 or iPhone 5 sells off a bunch of copies and then they'll release the one with the camera in it. Alright, it's as simple as that. So, you know, there is suppressed technology. Maybe the terminology isn't what it needs to be, I guess. Maybe it's just not released yet. Let's just say it like that. That'll be politically correct. Anyway...
No, this is again that semantics thing. Suppression brings a very specific idea to mind, whereas not released is a completely different idea. But well, here's the thing, though, not released covers both. It covers suppression and it covers a bunch of other stuff, you know?
My impression and my belief of the system is it literally is suppressed. Because if a guy like me, in my condition, with my type of lab or whatever, can come up with things and ideas and understand things, and there's somebody out there who has a multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar lab facilities with milling equipment and all this other kind of stuff, and I see that there's a way that you could resolve something. If I can think of it, they've probably already thought of it. They probably already got patents out on 99.9% of everything I've even opened my mouth about. So I hadn't come up with no idea. I just put new old ideas back out there on the table for people to know they even existed to begin with. Nobody knew what the mercury arc rectifier was. Nobody cared. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was just a rectifier tube that they used to change high voltage AC into DC. But the technology they had access to back in the late 1800s could have resolved the whole nuclear power industry before the nuclear power industry ever even got out of control. And I even will go as far as to say I don't even believe the nuclear power industry is as dangerous as everybody likes to portray it. Maybe I'm wrong. But from my understanding of the science presented and my understanding of how the thing functions and mechanically, I only see a few issues. Using old technology to mix with new technology and, you know, something just ain't going right. You don't use hot radioactive rods to boil water and not expect that there couldn't be some sort of potential that something could occur. You know? And so with that said, the technology from the late 1800s could have been utilized to boil that same water without said radioactive problems to begin with. And when you go to talk about Galen Windsor's nuclear scare scam, everybody says, well, Galen Windsor died of cancer. Oh, really? He died at 82 years old. So if he died of cancer at 82, then I'd say you're worried about something that ain't going to affect the average Joe, because the average lifespan is anywhere from 60 to 80 and maybe possibly 100 if you're lucky, if you eat right. So I think he did pretty good at 82 for somebody running around eating uranium to prove a point. So, you know, if the sky is falling, then prop it up. It's that simple. If something ain't working in the world, then fix it. We're sitting here looking at the doggone computer system that has access to tons and tons and tons and tons of research and knowledge. Off the scale, unlike anything in the history of time. If Tesla would have had access to the internet back in the day, man, he'd have done told everybody exactly how to do it. You know, but Tesla don't. He was back in the 1800s. Wasn't no internet when he was around. It was just school books and word of mouth. And you see how that worked. We're using this technology. We're using it right now. And so, you know, there were solutions back then. There are solutions now. They're right there on the table. And I'm hoping to deliver the information to you in the proper manner so that, you know, everybody understands what it is that I'm trying to convey. Simple. Keep it simple. That's it. You know, if you can't explain something simply, then you just simply don't understand it. That's that. Electricity, I could explain to you how electricity functions just by explaining to you how plumbing works. It's pressure. It's flow. It's got check valves. It's got resistance. Everything. It's all flowing the same way. You know, water will always find its level. Electricity will always find its balance. That's what nature does. And once you understand that, once you understand basic science, basic physics, then you start looking at the world a little bit different. You know, I say stuff about CO2. It's heavier than oxygen. But somehow, it's magically getting up there where oxygen can't go. And they say that CO2 getting up there into the Earth's atmosphere is causing the planet to heat up. Well, it must be either transparent on one side or the opposite one way or another, because it seems to me like if it has the capability of trapping it in, it also has the capability of blocking it out as well. So we should, in theory, be getting colder if CO2 is getting up there. Kind of like when a volcano erupts and spews crud into the atmosphere and blocks out the sunlight. Makes things colder. And so when people are passionate about things like nuclear disasters, you can't tell them nothing. Because the science said, and the same science has deceived them on multiple fronts. It's like I got a friend who believes in aliens. Alright, I ain't never seen an alien, so I can't say whether they're here or not. But I got a friend who believes in aliens. He also believes in, you know, all kinds of things. Like, you literally create your reality just by thought. You can create your reality. But by George, if I talk to him about physics of an internal combustion engine, he will quote the science book like it was the Bible. Won't go outside and all that defies the second law of thermodynamics and so on, blah, blah, blah. You can't get out more than you put in and this and that. He will argue till he's blue in the face over me and tell me how much it is I'm wrong. If I explain to him my theory on gravity, he will just do the exact same thing. Oh, it's right by the book. Now here's the man who says that it's possible for you to literally take your mind and change the world by using what you, when you perceive some or look at it or think it, you can literally create your reality in front of you. But when it come down to my point of view, oh no, it didn't match what the school book said. Some folks just want their cake and eat it too. They want your cake as well. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to step outside the box and find out what is exactly reality. Maybe gravity isn't what we think gravity is. Maybe gravity isn't nothing more than buoyancy or pressure, air pressure, holding us down to a rock spinning in space. And maybe it's something what the science book said. But nonetheless, don't tell me you believe in the tooth fairy and then say you can't make an internal combustion engine run better. It's ridiculousness. And this is what not only myself is up against, but it's what a lot of other alternative thinkers in this world, free thinkers of the world, are up against. If it's outside of what the school book says you should say, well, then that's that. You ain't gonna convince nobody it's a possibility that maybe what you were told ain't right. I'm searching for all the free thinkers of the world. I'm searching for all the people who are willing to look outside of the box and look for ideas and solutions to put on the table and resolve these so-called issues. You put down the holy grail of free energy device on the table and everybody has the opportunity to measure it and see that it functions exactly the way that you said it would, then my job's done. Otherwise, you talk about it, nobody wants to take the initiative to go out there and build it themselves. No, some people don't even have the capabilities to even understand the device itself. They don't understand how to build it, or maybe they don't have the resources, or maybe they just don't have the skill set to be able to manufacture something. So, if you get the best of the best out there, you put these devices down on the table, and they really do function, I will guarantee you one thing. The naysayers will come out the woodworks like roaches out of a cardboard box. They will crawl all over and call you everything under the sun and say it is not even possible, it's a scam, because of all the scumbags like Keshi out there who spent their time stealing and lying from people, telling the world that he's the Messiah, when he was just nothing more than a con artist that got one over on the planet. And hey, he's not the only one out there that screwed alternative energy. But if the world is this in dire need, and if there's this natural or man-made disaster going on, and the governments of the world ain't doing the job, and the people of the world ain't willing to step forward and at least look into what Tesla was talking about and what I'm saying and what other researchers have said, what other alternative methods could have cleaned up the BP oil spill and such. If you're just willing to allow it to lay in the hands of the corporations and the governments of the world, then you just got what you got, and that's all you're going to get. No resolutions, nothing. You just go along to get along and pay your light bill and follow your laws so that you don't get in trouble. Don't let your head get up too high so you don't get picked out of the crowd. Well, I'm standing there, my head's up high, and I'm getting picked out of the crowd. And some of the people picking me out of the crowd are the same mice that's in the same maze where we're all looking for the same piece of cheese. It's aggravating. It's frustrating, it's aggravating. And so, if my words are just a waste of time, there ain't no point. And if you want your words to make a difference, then you gotta get up to the microphone, and you gotta open your mouth, and you gotta take and share that information out across to the world to get your point out there. Otherwise, there ain't no reason for you to even complain. If you're standing out there with a Save the Trees sign made out of a wooden stick and a paper sign, you make yourself look ridiculous. It's as simple as that. Do you want to save the trees? Go out there and plant a tree. Help cultivate it. Keep it fed and safe. Put a cage around it so the deer ain't rubbing their horns on it and killing it off or chewing off the leaves until it can grow into an adult high enough where it can fend for itself. The common sense is out there. It has to be utilized by the individual in order to work properly. The machinery necessary to give everybody clean, free, renewable energy has been out there forever and a day. Companies want to sell oil? Power companies want to sell electricity? The man wants the taxes off of it? The taxes go to help fix the road, supposedly? That's the way the whole system is set up. And so anybody who decides they want to buck that system has to be prepared for the outcome, which might just very well be the same mice that you're trying to help out are the same ones that are chewing on the back of your neck. Is that a rant? Is that politically incorrect? Counterproductive? I'm asking you. I'm asking anybody who wants to answer that question. What's the point in trying to resolve anything in this world if all you get faced with is ridicule, red tape, regulation, and naysayers from every side of the fence? I got a friend, like I said, who believes in the hoodoo voodoo version of the universe. But by gosh, if I try to tell him that we have the capability to build a car that runs on water, he's going to look at me cross-eyed. Something wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with this picture. Something's wrong with the Knights of the Round Table, and it may actually be irreparable. But it's going to come a day when enough's enough, and I'm just going to get fed up, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to delete my website on Shaziz.com, and I'm going to delete my YouTube, and I'm going to delete Shaziz Radio, and remove every one of my videos and podcasts and any trace of me that I can find from the internet and unplug from the wall. That's how frustrated I'm getting. You take a step back, you try to take a walk away from the big picture, you try to get out of the mix of the thing right there, and somehow or another this beast will draw you back in because you're still being told that the world is screwed up. And I'm standing here and I'm offering my point of view and my ideas for a resolution, and I'm asking you for your ideas and your point of view for the resolution. We don't have no time to argue over terminology or semantics or political or whatever. If the need is as dire as the world has portrayed, and nobody's sharing the podcast of ideas and solutions, and nobody's cramming into this chat room and filling it up from the whatever, we should have done shut this thing down and had to add on by now. We should have done been able to get solutions out there on the table, and network after network after network being designed and built, and websites and everything necessary. We should have already had the infrastructure in place to resolve the issues of the world, since we already know the governments of the world don't care. The people up there at the top of the pyramid are being held up by the people from the bottom of the pyramid. You are the base of that pyramid. You are the structure that holds up the beast that is eating you alive. You, the average Joe. The one who's getting frustrated at everything going on out there. The one who's out there protesting and complaining about the system, and you still supporting the same system. When you're chewing on the back of the neck of the mouse who's trying to offer you a way out, or at least an idea to move forward to finding a way out, then you're just helping the man. That's the way I see it. And so, I don't want to spend the rest of my life sitting here trying to talk common sense to the world if the world doesn't want to hear it. I want this doggone world to be fixed. If the machinery is out there polluting the waters, then we need to resolve it. If the windmills are chopping up the birds, then we need to resolve it. If there's a noise coming off of it that's making people physically ill, then we need to resolve it. If there are smart meters on the side of people's houses that's making them sick to the extent they put aluminum foil on there and the heat burns down their doggone house, then we need to resolve it. That's common sense. But if I can't get nobody to the table who's willing to listen to something outside of what that doggone school book says, then it's all pointless. The naysayers, the doomsdayers, they're out there. Barry once added in there, Thomas. Let's see if I can do it. The naysayers, the doomsdayers, and all the people out there, the negative people out there just trying to say that there ain't no hope, nothing ever going to come about, you can't fix it, the world's screwed up, then pretty much it's time for Oshaziz to walk away from the table. No point in even being here anymore if there ain't nothing we can do about it. Ain't no point in shouting the sky is falling to the world because they've already realized it enough to where the whole majority of the world is all self-medicated and on drugs and alcohol and everything, just like Paul Harvey said. They're out the gambling casinos, down at the local house of ill repute or whatever. There's bombs dropping on this side over there. There's people starving over this side right down around the corner. Some homeless man under a bridge and we can't resolve these issues. Then it's time for old King Shaziz the Terrible to set his crown down on the table and walk away. It's time for me to shut it down. Now somebody got to figure out some reason why we should keep this ball going if all hope is lost. Otherwise, what's the point? The answers are out there. They're right there in front of your face. They're at your fingertips. All you got to do is type in the right word, and even Google will help you out. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, Shaziz.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say right now. You know what? But been listening to you talk here for the last 15 minutes, and there's lots of days that I get up and I swear I'll never go back on the radio again as long as I live. I look at the oligarchy of events that are going on around me, and I'm ready to throw my hands up in the air, but you know what, 10 minutes later I'm ready to get back into the fight, because it don't matter, Shaziz, if there's one person or 100 people listening. If I reach one person with my thoughts during the day, to me, that's a good day. And I feel your frustration and I sense it. We all want to know why the rest of the world's not waking up to what we see is so obvious in front of us. And yet they're still inside their matrix. We have to get over the paradigms. We have to make them understand that what they are under is a form of mind control. And, when society can finally realize this, I think you'll see the changes that we need to see. But I sense your frustration, buddy. But walking away, Shaziz, is not the answer. I mean, you've done so much good for so many people, and you've opened up so many people's eyes to the possibilities. And sure, we don't get a lot of people coming in here, and I don't understand why that is. But, you know, to quit, we'd just be giving the devil what he wants, man. And we can't walk away, Shaziz. I mean, there's days you feel like it, and I don't blame you, honestly. But that's not the answer, my friend.
Well, we just keep putting the call out, man. We keep putting it out. And, you know, I don't know whether we're being blocked from one side or next or whatever, you know, but the common sense message, everybody in the real world that I talk to believes that there are things that can be done to resolve issues of the world. And there's a lot of common sense out there. There's a lot of talent out there. Somebody once said that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And so I thought, okay, well, with that said, let's put all these brilliant minds in front of a microphone and let's give them access to share this information with the world. And we did just that. We've been doing that for, man, I don't even know how many years we've been on the radio now.
Yeah, I know. Many years.
You know.
And you wonder why. You bang your head against the wall.
We've been hacked.
Why can't people see the common sense that is so obvious?
Yeah. We've been hacked. We've been threatened. We've been pretty much verbally brutalized. We've went through the ringer, but we're still here. And every time I get so doggone frustrated, one of my friends will say the right key word, and doggone it, I'll be back tomorrow. You know. And I put these podcasts out there because I'm not ashamed of what I said. I know what
well,
I said.
You're standing in your own truth, Shaziz.
And as far as I'm concerned, as long as they're floating out there and they're immortalized forever and somebody finally comes along to pick it up and they're like, wow, that's a good idea. Why didn't we think of that, you know? I'm glad you did. I'm glad you picked that podcast up. I'm glad you took that idea and I'm glad you ran with it. Just like everything I show you on my YouTube channel, it's for to get your mind, the little gears in your mind moving, you know. It's kind of like the jump start. And I even had to take the lightning crack out of the front of my movies because it was still in most of them, but I'm talking about my newer ones. I haven't been putting a lightning crack in because I got one guy that just likes to thumb me down because he gets the crap scared out of me every time he opens up one of my videos and the lightning comes in there and pow, school's in session, you know. You know, but it's part of mad science. But I compromised. I took it out just for that one individual. All right. Nonetheless, it's an idea. This is an idea machine. Everything that you see before your very eyes when you're on Shaziz Radio or the YouTube channel is an idea. Idea machine. Look, I find somebody's video. I like it. It goes out to YouTube. It goes out to Twitter. I post it in the link down here for other people to, in case they miss this one here, they can come in here and look and they get ideas of inventions. We get on here. We talk about said ideas. Those are solutions out there, or potential, at the very least, solutions to problems that we have in the so-called energy world. I've had people tell me that, you know, all we ever do is get on there and talk. We never get nothing done. I'm just one man, Barry. I'm just one man. I got a lot of ideas. I do a lot of projects. There's over 200 and some odd videos to prove it. I take everything I can. I give it out to freely to everybody. I don't ask nobody for nothing. You know? And all the only thing that I'm begging the world to do is if you see an idea here on Shaziz Radio that you like, that you think can be benefit to somebody, you pass it on. You show somebody else. That's it. If you hear a podcast that inspires you, makes you laugh or cry or happy or whatever, and you want somebody else to share in that experience, you can take that podcast, you can chop it up, do whatever you want. Send it out there to whoever. You can use it on your broadcast. You can do whatever you want with it. Any information you find on this website. There ain't no copyrights there. I'm not worried about no intellectual rights. I'm not asking you for any kind of royalties or anything like that. Just whatever you see out here, it's information that I passed on that I found somewhere. Take it and move it forward. Get the things in the world that need to be fixed. There's where I stand, Barry. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, Shaziz, there's an old saying that you can lead people to knowledge, but you can't make them think.
Thomas said that society, about water.
Well, really, I ask myself, you know, why society cannot wake up to what is so obvious going on around us. And, you know, the biggest concern I have right now on this planet is our environment and the planet itself. You know, up in the north here, Shaziz, for the first time in years, they've shut down the commercial fishery of the spring salmon this year. They've shut down the commercial fishery of the cohos and the sockeyes. So in other words, the commercial fishery of these fish in northern British Columbia is pretty well at a standstill this year. It is going to impact the local industries here in massive ways. The fish production facilities, the ones in Prince Rupert, are all going to be out of work this year because of the commercial shutdown. What's it going to take for people to realize that this is just isn't by coincidence that we have real serious problems in the ocean, and they need to be addressed? I know that local people here now are really starting to talk, even in conversations I have with people in the that work for the city and people that work for DFO are talking about the effects of Fukushima on the ocean. To say that Fukushima isn't affecting our ocean, I think you'd have to have your head totally buried in the sand. You mentioned earlier that, you know, you kind of think that radiation is blown out of context. I kind of tend to disagree with that.
Well, it's not necessarily the radiation, Barry. It's the way that it's used. See, I get in this conversation with Thomas and even Justin every once in a while. It's the terminology specifics. You got to understand, when you talk about, when you actually just say the word radiation, that's already a panic word, and not all radiation's bad. And to understand what stage it is in, like, you know, when it's first put together in the rods, and then how it heats the water, and how the materials will transfer to and become dangerous, at what stages they are. In order to be able to resolve this issue, you have to have an understanding of what the bad part of this thing is. And so with the, with understanding those different stages and not painting the entire thing with just the radiation, radioactive contamination is where the thing gets concerning to me and becomes valid. When you got radioactive contamination, that is where the problem lies. But when you're talking to somebody who's really involved in science and you want them to understand, you can't just say, you know, radiation is killing everybody, because there's so much more to the process. You see what I'm saying? It's not that I'm trying to discount Fukushima, because it is a problem. There's definitely a problem going on there that is affecting our oceans. And but I'm trying to put it in a manner in which we can address this by stages. You know, what can you do with radioactive water in order to contain it? First off, you got to find where the actual contamination is actually occurring and cordon that off. That could have been done already with Fukushima. They wouldn't be dumping the crud in there. And even the radioactive water that they have in storage, that can be filtered. The contamination can literally be filtered out of the water. It's not like this stuff automatically bonds with the water molecule and makes that water permanently radioactive. No, you can clean that up. You could reuse the same water over and over and over again and filter out all the contamination, store that contamination properly, and resolve that issue. That's the point that I was trying to get across. I'm not trying to say that it's not a problem, because it is a problem. But it's about the way that it's spoken about and the terminology that, you know, basically leads everyone on the planet to believe the sky is falling. We're definitely creating one heck of a mess, and it needs to be resolved, like, now. It should have been resolved yesterday. But for the average Joe to understand where the problem lies, you gotta get in there and say the proper thing. There is radioactive contamination. Where exactly is it at in Fukushima, and how is it introduced into our water system that is actually carrying through the atmosphere that's coming over and raining down and burning holes and leaves in my trees here in the state of Missouri?
Exactly. Well, you know that Fukushima right now is beyond a mess. The potential there for a catastrophic disaster, I mean, I've looked at it and studied it and studied it and studied it. And it just absolutely boggles my mind, the potential there for an extinction-level event on the planet. And that's literally a real possibility, what's going on with Fukushima. So, you know, I had three videos that I watched this week of three different individuals that went on the coast of California and were examining the low tide pools. And of course, low tide pools in the ocean. Anybody that's been out in the ocean has seen the low tide pools. The low tide pools are always full of microorganisms or small snails or, literally there's, I've gone out to them and seen 30 or 40 different types of life in the low tide pools. So that's an indication of the health of the bottom of the ocean. Well, all the tide pools that they're examining in California right now show no signs of life. None. To me is absolutely shocking. Because it indicates that the very bottom of the ocean is under attack. That everything starts at the bottom and filters its way to the top. Now we see our salmon, the numbers absolutely dwindling, like really low numbers on the sockeye this year. Shocking numbers. The reproduction capabilities of these fish is really in jeopardy right now. Take that into consideration, what we've done to their breeding grounds, to the rivers that we've destroyed. We are really jeopardizing the very sustenance of life on this planet. And if people can't wake up to that, shame on them.
Well, what I keep saying is this. I literally sent a message to TEPCO, all right, the company that's supposedly in charge, offering them another, person to, help troubleshoot problems, and got absolutely no response, zero response from the company involved in it. They pretty much believe, I guess, they got it under control. All right. And when BP oil spill was going on, I did the exact same thing. I sent a message to BP and I offered them solutions, ideas. Same thing. Absolutely no response. Here recently, I sent the letter to the President of the United States. I posted that letter on the internet for everybody to see. All right, exactly what I said to the President of the United States. Absolutely no response. I shouted it out for every point of the compass on this doggone radio show, begging and pleading people to pass on podcasts, pass on information, get together, jump on the microphone. Absolutely no response. With the exception of the inner circle of all the networks that we all communicate with each other here on Skype, and the people that join in the chat room and do what it is they do, absolutely no response from the outside world. Now, one of two things is going on here. Either no one out there understands or even cares what we're talking about, or somebody's literally stopping this information from going anywhere. I got videos on my YouTube channel that have been there for four or five years at the very least. It only got a couple hundred views on them. Some of which, they weren't that bad of a video. Should have had a lot. Supposedly, I got 7,700 some odd subscribers on YouTube. The videos, the video views don't even remotely represent the number of subscribers on there.
Well, they're playing with numbers on YouTube. You know that. So that's not a real indication of who's looking at your videos.
Well,
I think.
It's not that I want the attention, Barry. It's just that if you got ideas that you're trying to pass on, you want as many people to see them, Take
well,
these
absolutely.
Ideas and run with them.
Absolutely. With that being said, Patty Walk Turtle's here.
Hi, Patty.
Good morning, Patty.
Gotta turn
she's
your
showing,
microphone
she's
on.
Showing that she's here, but there you go. There's the voice. There's the voice I'd love to hear. You're breaking up, Patty.
Really... Yeah, sometimes sometimes Skype has this issue. If somebody...
Sorry about that.
All right, everybody mute their mic. Give it a shot, Patty.
Okay, well, we've had a lot of weather here, so that might be playing a part also. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. Are you hearing me okay now?
Yeah, we're hearing you great. As long as the mics are muted, then we ain't cutting each other out. Go ahead. I don't
Hello?
Know what happened.
Well, I came in, so I'm not sure where. What now? What now?
Hello? We were actually.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, we hear
you. We're here, Patty. Don't you love radio?
Yeah. Well, it's modern technology.
I love live radio.
Live radio.
But anyway, we can hear you fine, so just jump in there when you feel like it, Patty. So, basically, you know, you can feel, you can hear the frustration in my voice about the situation, you know. I keep doing what I do because I believe in the cause, and that's why I keep posting the podcast, because I'm not ashamed of what I said. And I believe that there's real solutions in there, and I would hope that if somebody hears one, they'll take that idea and they'll run with it. It's as simple as that, you know? So,
well, here's a question for you. She says, what's the easiest way to split water and separate the molecules?
Radio waves. Just like okay, Stan Myers is doing it. Huh?
And how easy is that to apply to a regular application in society? How simple would it be?
It's ridiculously easy. I mean, look at the way a microwave oven works. You put water in a microwave oven, you turn it on, it takes 120 volts AC, turns it into about 2,000 volts, and then pumps that 2,000 volts in through a magnetron, which is the equivalent of a light bulb. There's a magnet on each end of this, and it speeds up the electrons inside there that's being released by the heat of the element inside, which is a tungsten element. Those electrons get trapped up into a little waveguide kind of deal and come out the other end of the doggone deal as a frequency, a sound wave or an electrical wave that basically rocks a water molecule that is a dipole molecule, has a positive and a negative on it. And so when you rock that wave, it creates friction, which in turn creates heat and cooks your food. Well, that same technology can be used to speed that wave up to the extent that now that wave rattles itself apart, rattles the water molecule apart, separating the hydrogen and oxygen on demand. That's how Stan Myers was able to get his custom injectors to literally run that dune buggy down the road in the 70s. It's so ridiculously simple that it's overlooked. You know? And it's aggravating.
I'm not a scientist, and I'm not the kind of person that can really, my mind is pretty simple compared to somebody like yourself. But for me to try to explain to somebody how you split this hydrogen cell very simply is really what I'm looking for, because I get into this conversation with people and I say, you know what, we have enough energy and water to power everything we need, and they kind of look at me like I'm a nutcase, and then I try to explain it to them, and I'm kind of
all right,
really
Barry,
stuck for an answer. Next
time this happens, Barry.
Yeah, that's what I'm,
next
you know
time
what I'm saying,
this happens.
Is, I'm not a scientist. Okay?
All right, next time
I'm
this
common,
happens.
Common guy.
Walk them over to the microwave. Put in a little glass of water. Takes
okay.
about 2 minutes in your average microwave to boil water. Put that water inside there and draw a little diagram on the side of the refrigerator with a one of them erasable deals of a water molecule, and put a plus on one side and a negative on one side and a little squiggly line off to the side coming at that deal, and say this is what's happening. When that wave goes through that positive and negative on that wave, there's a positive side, there's a negative side. Well, those opposites attract and positives repel. So as that wave is interacting with that force inside that water molecule, it's causing it to rock really fast. When it rocks really fast, it literally creates friction in water that produces heat, and that heat is what cooks your food. That's how much energy potential is just in that wave alone. And by manipulating water in that method, in that fashion, then you're able to have hot food because of the moisture content in whatever it is that you're cooking. Now, if you really want to unlock the potential of the water molecule, you know that hydrogen by itself and oxygen by itself is powerful. One will burn and has basically an explosion kind of deal going on. If you get too much of the oxygen and you light a match, boom, you blow yourself up. The other one is hydrogen, which has an implosive value to it. Explosive, implosive, the most powerful forces out there. And if you can...
Cavitation.
if you can heat that water with a wave, then you can also separate those water molecules with a faster wave. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Real simple.
I'm following what you said. Okay. Well, to me, guys, I mean, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? If we're telling people that we can eliminate oil, eliminate nuclear simply with water, if we could get the whole world to understand that this is a reality, people would be marching in the street demanding it.
Well, so, have them come talk to me,
Information. Gotta get this information out and get people aware that this is a reality.
Put a rally together. Have people have me come to the microphone. I'll explain it so that even a kindergartner can understand it. You know, it's not rocket science. When you boil water and you turn it into steam, and steam expands the water molecules, or the water volume of water expands, say, 1,600 times its volume, that's a lot of pressure. You know, and pressure is easy to understand. You blow up a balloon, that's pressure. If you put too much pressure to the balloon, what happens? It pops. You know, the science is easy. And modern industry out there should be utilizing this, because it's the safest fuel out there if utilized properly. They say that water is the most stable molecule, all right? It's also the most destructive molecule when it's used improperly. Hydrogen bomb. See my point there?
Well, I'm sure that industry is aware of this reality, but of course it doesn't represent any money to them, so it will be quashed and blocked as much as they can possibly block it, because oil makes them money and nuclear makes them money, and everything else they do just destroys our planet makes them money. So I'm sure they're aware of this shiz, but it's getting the public to the point where the common Joe walking down the street is totally convinced that hydrogen technology is the answer, and we demand it.
Well, let me give
it would answer all our problems.
Let me give an example that causes people a lot of frustration. Every time I mention Galen Windsor, they don't understand what the man was trying to say to them. And, you know, when you talk about radioactive material, Galen Windsor was running around eating uranium to show everybody that it wasn't going to kill you. All right? And what he wasn't showing you that if you got these highly radioactive rods, highly refined rods, he wasn't eating one of the highly refined rods, okay? He was just eating natural uranium and showing people, look, I'm radioactive now. That means that, you know, but the extent at which he was trying to show people that got lost in the explanation. Galen Windsor lived to be 82 years old, all right? And he was trying to explain people that the regulation of the safety industry in the nuclear power company took things so far out of context that people didn't understand where the actual danger lies. The actual danger lies in that core itself, where that stuff is highly refined. As long as it stays in one melted glob, you ain't got a problem other than heat. It's when that stuff actually gets blown into little micro particles and then dispersed that you get radioactive contamination. That is the problem. Once that is broken up into the smaller deals where you can breathe it into your lungs or get it on your skin, you know, that is where the problem is. So when you want to tackle this problem of Fukushima, you have to address the problem in stages. That's why I was trying to explain it to you the way that I said. There's a difference between radiation and radioactive contamination. There's where the crossroad hits that the people are losing track of. Now, we can resolve the Fukushima incident. It can be resolved. I sent a letter to TEPCO, and I asked them, at least hear me out, you know. No response. Barry, I can't resolve an issue when nobody will pay attention to a potential solution. I don't want our planet to die. I love our Earth. I'm a nature lover. I love animals. You know, I stand out there and talk to the birds all the time. My neighbors probably think I'm nuts if they ever see me out there talking to birds and squirrels and deer. You know, that's okay, because we got a relationship. I can stand 5 feet away from a deer on my property. They ain't afraid of me. You know, I got a long history of not chasing them down with a gun.
They feel your vibrations.
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to try to get the common sense out there in a manner in which we want people to understand there are resolutions for everything, even the BP oil spill. First thing that they need to stop doing is dumping that crud in the water. That corrects it. It's doing just as much damage as Fukushima's doing. All right? And potentially more. And they still dump it in there. The EPA come down on them and said, well, you got to reduce how much you're putting in. Okay, that was their best response. Reduce how much you're putting in. No, stop what you're putting in. You got one mad science guy out there saying what you're doing is past mad science. It's madness. Because you put that in there, it supposedly helps to disperse the oil to the extent where now little tiny microbes can eat up the oil and be able to do what nature does. But if it's breaking down the oil in the water, and fish have oil in them, and jellyfish, and in any carbon life form that's swimming in the water is swimming in that crud, what do you think's happening?
Well, my guess would be that not too many fish swimming in the ocean right now wouldn't show traces of oil in their system. So,
yeah.
What we're doing to the ocean is a travesty. It really is.
Sure
and
it is.
To myself, you know, Shaziz, I sit and I look at it right now, and I, you know, there's an urgency in my voice when I talk to people about it, because I honestly believe with all my heart that there isn't a great window of opportunity left for the human race to correct these problems.
Well,
I really honestly feel that.
The clock's
so
ticking.
So the clock is ticking, and, you know, I never thought in my lifetime I would be able to say to myself that we are looking at possibly killing the very bottom of life on this planet, and that, of course, is the bottom of the ocean.
Yep.
But that now is apparently becoming a reality. And again, I go to the indications of the low tide pools on the coast of California. To me, that is just shocking, that there is no life showing in the low tide pools. You know, the most people that haven't been to the ocean, like I said earlier in the show, if you haven't been to the ocean and seen what I've seen in my life in the low tide pools, you wouldn't understand what I'm saying. But I've been out in the ocean. We've gone beach combing hundreds of times and done clams, and I've gone into the tide pools with my kids and played with the little critters, and it's probably one of the most fun things we ever did. And now to think that these tide pools are showing no signs of life, my God, folks, that, like I said, the clock is ticking. Every indication we see in the ocean right now tells us that it's in deep, deep trouble. And yet we go about our lives like everything's fine. People go about their daily lives, and they go to work, and they pay their taxes, and they come home, they turn on the TV, and they watch a stupid hockey game and idolize some guy that's making as much money in one day as they make in 3 years of their life. And this is all good in society. We are so distracted from what really needs our attention. You know, these mechanisms of distraction, well, they're not there by chance. They're there for a reason. They're there to keep us from looking at what's really, really going on around us, things that are most vital in our lives. And I look at my kids every day and I go, wow, if we don't speak and we don't get some changes made, the life they're going to have, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, guys. And that to me is a reality. That is not two guys standing out behind A&W with tinfoil hats on going, I think there's something wrong and we better do something about it. This is a hardcore fact now. It's not deniable. And I say that because of what I see going on in the ocean. And
yeah,
all indications are that we are in deep, deep trouble. And it only has so much resiliency. Any natural organism only has so much resiliency. The food chain was put there for a reason. The food chain is the food chain. And if you continue to take pieces out of that food chain, it's inevitably going to collapse. And when it collapses, the whole thing will collapse. And it'll come like a thief in the night. People will all of a sudden see massive breakdowns in our food chain, in our food supply, and people will start screaming. But by that time, guys, I'm not going to say it's going to be too late, but I don't think we have a lot of time left, honestly,
well, what's
to
it
deal
gonna,
with these problems.
What's it going to take to get that message of urgency into a common sense fashion? Because, look, if I want to go talk to a politician, politicians are aggravating to talk to, because you feel like whenever you go talk to a politician, a senator, a congressman, or anybody of any power stature whatsoever, you feel like you got to rattle off as fast as you can everything you can say, because they only got a limited time to, you know, 15-minute interview with the president. You know, I got to say what I got to say in 15 minutes. I go in there, Mr. President, we have this urgency. We got to fix it up real quick. The Fukushima, the BP oil spill, it's all causing this cataclysm, and we got to fix it. Well, you know, he's going to hear what I got to say, move me on out the door, and send it on down the line to somebody else where it may or may not get addressed. That's the problem. The communication to the so-called representation of the world, you can't get what you need to say through to their head to make them understand how serious the situation really is. Am I wrong?
No, and you know, unfortunately, so much of society is still inside their paradigm that they're really not going to start paying attention to these issues until it really starts impacting their lives. But well, like I said earlier in the show, all the of a sudden you go to the grocery store and the food starts disappearing in unbelievable rates. People are really going to start to scream.
If the average Joe, if the average Joe that you talk to, you go up, Millie Weaver of InfoWars did this deal where she was out there talking to people in Kansas City and asking them, "Do you believe in climate change?" All right, well, yeah, majority of them believe in climate change. Now, if I come over there and I start talking to them and say, look, there's this solution to climate change. I don't necessarily believe in climate change because the science doesn't make no sense to me. However, there is a solution to the problem, such as we could run our cars on water, literally, and you wouldn't have these carbon emissions. They'll shut down on you. Instantaneously, their eyes will roll back in their head and their mind shuts down. The only thing they know is the problem. They can't understand the solution. And so it's pointless to try to explain to them. I explained in graphic detail to somebody who believed in global warming / climate change or climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. I explained to them in graphic detail the science behind all that. And no matter what I said, the doom was that. Period. No, you can't do this. It's not. It's the school book says. My teacher said that was it, and the whole deal got lost in the deal. Lost in the presentation. I'm saying right now to anybody out there listening, we can resolve Fukushima. We can clean up the mess. We can give nature an opportunity to resolve the rest of it. We need to right now have people who are out there that recognize that there's a population problem in the fish. Grab up some of them fish that are healthy. Start taking care of them on little fish farms and making sure that they don't meet total extinction by the time we get this water cleaned up. If it takes 10,000 years, then we need 10,000 people a year doing exactly the same thing. Protect those species and raise them. Let them, reproduce, turn them back into the wild. But it's going to take the average Joe doing this. Otherwise, if it's all left up to the cycle that's going downhill right now, going over the cliff in a grocery cart, so to speak, then that'd be a rough ride. If you've ever been in a grocery cart, you'll understand what I'm talking about. My brother used to shove me across the doggone parking lot in one, and it hit a deal and I'd wipe out. That's another story for another day. We can actually get together in our local communities. If there is a species that looks like it could potentially be in danger, set off a piece of our own property and raise that species and clean the mess up in the pond or creek or lake or even the ocean, whatever necessary needs to be done in order to preserve those. They got huge food banks over there, and I can't even remember where the heck it is. It's overseas. They've got these big old vaults. It's underground for some sort of cataclysmic deal where now they can go out and replant all these trees that die off and whatever disaster comes about. You know, there are ways to preserve nature long enough to help nature along and clean nature up. There's ways to filter out the contaminated water without contaminating more water. And that's all they're doing, Barry, is by the process that they're and the way that they're doing it, all they are is spreading the contamination.
Yeah. Well, these answers got to come quick, Shaziz. I mean, I have an urgency when I talk about this, because if you look at what's going on in the ocean, it's just, it's boggling my mind. And how much time do we have?
Well, how do
really, we got to start asking ourselves that question. How much time do we have?
How do we
I don't think we have a lot. So how do we get people on board?
How do we get a translator to TEPCO to say, hey, there's this crazy guy with don't comb his doggone hair and looks like a knucklehead, but he sounds like you got an idea. You willing to listen to him?
Why won't they listen to these ideas?
I don't know.
They have over 10,000, I believe it is, storage tanks now on shore.
Yeah.
That was a number I just looked at the other day. These storage tanks are being bolted together. They have a five-year expectancy on their life, and yet we're storing some of the most radioactive water in the world right beside the Pacific Ocean in storage tanks that have a five-year shelf life.
Another tsunami bust all
them
out.
What am I missing here? Is
filtration systems. That's what you're
exactly.
missing.
Exactly. So if this is a reality, then we've got to get the public aware of it, because this is going to be a major issue. If another earthquake was to hit that area right now, folks, the world would start screaming at the top of their lungs. But by then, the tens of thousands of gallons of radioactive water would be in the ocean, and we're going to see the ocean die if we don't turn this around. I honestly believe that. You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not. But I know how the food chain works on the planet, how everything interacts with itself. Each species supports each species, and it's a chain. It's an incredible chain. And we are taking pieces out of it left, right, and center right now, and we're expecting it to continue.
Well, the first key...
We're going down a road that we don't want to go down,
The first key is to get these companies to stop dumping crud in the water. If it doesn't belong in the water naturally, do not put it in the water. Somebody got
to
get a hold...
To do that.
Somebody got to get a hold of somebody. The BP...
Yeah, we got to... You got to get people screaming at the top of their lungs in mass to get the government to listen to us. Because they won't listen. They'll just continue to do what they're doing. The insanity of it, I can't understand, but same people I can, because there's an agenda here. We know that. These companies don't give a flying hoot about you or your health or your life. They don't. All they care about is what is going on behind the scenes, the agenda that's being played out on this planet right now. And to me, it's going to take a mass awakening of the public to be awake, to really realize that we're fighting right now for the future of our children. Well, and I couldn't say that more truthfully.
You know what the agitators have figured out? They figured out the way to get people's attention is to get people out on the streets and agitate people and protest and make a stink about everything. Well, it may be time for the average Joe to get out there and start putting some common sense out there on the table. Look, there's a solution. I mean, walk around with a big sign that says, there is a solution. You know, and when somebody on mainstream media asks you, well, what is the solution? Don't take no for an answer. Spit it out. Doggone it.
I think ABC, NBC, CBS, NBC, CNN, CBC in Canada here should all televise the video I just watched on die-offs of mass extinction that was just released 3 weeks ago, taking into 2016. The accumulation and the acceleration of die-offs and what they've experienced so far in 2017. If that kind of information was put out to the public and really got the public to understand that life is dying on the planet, then maybe we could get people to rise in one voice, because it is a universal problem. If there was ever an issue that would bring people together on this planet, it would be the protection of the very thing that provides us with life. And yet we don't see it. And that's because everything about anything going bad on this planet is quashed by mainstream media. Well, shame on them, but that unfortunately is the reality of the world we live in. They're controlled by the entities that are doing what is bad to this planet. And you'll never hear the information out of the mainstream unless we demand it and raise as one voice. And that is going to be a monumental challenge to the human race, because as a species, we are divided in so many different ways that we can't come together. But if there was an issue to ever bring people together universally, this would be the issue in my world.
Well, I've got a flash drive that has every single video I've ever made. It's got every single podcast we've ever done together on. And we can replicate that flash drive, and we can pass it hand to hand to everybody and his brother, and those who care will listen, and those who don't won't. But I don't know what more to do. We've shouted it out on the radio. We've talked about the ideas. We've talked about the solutions. And we've proven over and over and over again that the world, you're surrounded in the sea of energy. And
well, when are you coming up? When are you coming up to Canada? Is this? I got some people that will listen here.
Well, I think the best way I can come
jump
up to Canada is to copy this.
Come up the terrace here.
Copy this flash drive and ship it to you, you know, or Skype in, get together a convention hall and a big screen, and we'll Skype in front of everybody and talk to them about this face to face. We got access to this technology, folks. We could literally do this all over the place. If Barry had a hall that he could borrow or rent for a day and an internet connection and a big screen TV and brought the people there, we could talk about the common sense to the average Joe in a fashion that ain't going to scare the crud out of them, but make them aware that we need to get things resolved and this is how we do it. It could be done. There, for every problem under the sun, there's a solution. There's an idea. Now, this radio show right here, I'm boggled. I'm baffled. I don't understand why it is. All the ideas that are put out there, you know, I know that people are listening because I'm watching some of the technology I pointed out a long time ago, people running with it, and it's their idea now. They, hey, look what I designed. I got this good idea. Here it is. I knew that I put that out there years ago, but I don't care. I may sound crazy, I may look crazy, but what I'm trying to share with the world, I'm trying to do it for free. I'm not trying to get famous. I'm not trying to get rich. I'm just trying to resolve an issue that was told to me so that my grandchildren and their grandchildren can live in a world that's better than the one that we had to contend with. This ain't about old Shaziz here. It's not. If I wanted...
Well, I know that.
Recognition know that. For anything that I'm trying to share with the world, I'd be using my birth name. I'd tell everybody, yeah, look at me, look at me. I don't want you to look at me. I want you to look at the information that Steven's put out, that Barry's put out, that Patty's put out, that Raymond's put out, that Tom's put out, that Justin's put out. Read, watch, look, listen, and spread the message out there. If you want to put a convention together, I'd be more than happy to get on Skype and put the camera up in front, and so I can sit there and answer questions real time with anybody. I don't care who it is, whatever, whether it be TEPCO or BP. I don't have all the answers, but I tell you what, there's enough people on this panel right now who know enough about chemistry and science and physics and mechanics that can tell you that there is a alternative to the problems other than to pour into our oceans a chemical that is supposedly there to break down oil. There is an alternative to having radioactive water being flushed up into, and when I say radioactive, I'm finding myself in the same doggone boat. Radioactively contaminated water going into the
ocean. We're all contributing to it. We're all creating all of this. It's all of our own vigilance.
I don't understand what you're saying there, Justin.
Well, it's our lack of vigilance, Justin, is what it is. We've been manipulated.
Well, I think... Why do we say we've been manipulated? Are we saying that we're incompetent and primitive?
Then when do we stand up?
Why do we have to do it as a race?
Everybody has been manipulated up to a point in our life where we actually see what's going on. I was part of the problem at one point, but I kind of had to wake up one day and I look at it totally different now. What we have to do is get people to follow the same path. Patty, I know you want to talk, and I want to hear from Patty for a minute, if you don't mind, Justin. She was just going to say something. Patty.
Well, I just wanted to add in here, we've been doing this for years and years and years, and it's not that the people are not interested. The people don't know. There are people out there who, their only world is Facebook. Their only world is seeing pictures of what's for dinner tonight, what they cook, things like this, little cutesy, lovey pictures and things. These people are not involved. They know something's wrong. They know something's wrong, but they don't have a clue. And we were all here at one time. Something is freaking wrong. What do we need to do? So we've had over 10 years or more to go through this. But there is, you know, when I first started with TCT, about 3 years into it, I started telling people that we need to get the word out. And so I made up these little flyers, and I took them to laundromats, and I took them to grocery stores with bulletin boards, and I took them to wherever I could put them. And what I had on there was just links to sites and information. And I put the caption on there, "If you want to know how to help." And then below that, I added the links to videos, to websites, to different areas, YouTube videos, and things like this, where people could go and get an alternative view of solutions that would help them in these times. And I did get feedback on that, and I did raise awareness in my town. There was a time when I could not walk on the street without people jumping to the other side of the street because they were tired of hearing me in the coffee shop. But once I started posting these things in the laundromats and in the grocery stores that we had, in the post office, which they took down. I can't do that. You can't do that, guys. But when I posted these, all of a sudden, things changed. And in the town where I live, there are more aware people now than there ever was, and people talking solutions. So I know that we do have the ability to get the word out, but we've got to go through all channels, not just through the internet. We've got to reach out, and the best way to do it is to give people an option and to say, here, if you want to know answers, if you want to know what you can do, just check these sites out. People are more willing to do something without being told you better or you have to come watch this. If they can look up there and they can say, oh, and there was stuff on there for permaculture. There was stuff on there for aquaponics. At that time, I was also into earth bag homes and things like this. All of these different things. And it does work. And I think that is a really good way of getting the word out there to people who are not connected to the sources that we are and don't even know really that they exist, because we have to remember they've got MSN constantly feeding them this confusion, this chaos, this fear. There's nothing you can do, you know? And if they don't want you to hear about it, like Fukushima, you're not going to hear about it. Unless you know where to look. So this might be a way that we can widen our reach, you know, and get the information out there. Just so.
Well, I like that idea. That maybe that grassroots campaign, old style, with passing around some flyers and some information would be a great deal. I love it. Put it up in your doggone laundromats and tell them, look, if you want to solve this problem, there are solutions. Come and listen. You know, like I say to everybody, the reason why I promote all these other networks is because if you're not getting the information that you need from here, I mean, it's out there. You know, surely you got to weed through the swamp and try to figure out who's telling the truth and who ain't, but hey, we're doing the best we can with what we got to work with.
Well, and also, Shaziz, you're handling one specific area which is hardly handled at all, and that is in the ability to create the mechanisms to get out of this control mechanism of being hooked to the grid, things like this. This is really important what you do, because, Shaz, it's one of the things that will untether people and give them the empowerment they need to do the other things they need to do. But it's only one aspect. And then you have all these other people who are giving different aspects. They're all important. They're all different viewpoints, but all providing solutions. And that's what we need. We just need the solutions to get out there so that people can see, oh, well, I'm not defeated before I begin. There is actually something I can do. you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's a lot of people with a lot of information, and you need to help support those people by helping, you know, get people to listen to them. You know, it's the average Joe's going to make the difference. I keep saying that over and over again. It's not the representation you got out there. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption, anti-stupidity. The only way you're going to get this resolved is when you do it with each other. You guys get together, network in your communities, and find the issues that are causing problems and resolve them together. When people see you cleaning up your town and how you're able to have good fresh water and everything you need to, you know, make things right in your community, they're more apt to follow. You know, that's the easy way. We got one heck of a job ahead of us.
Yeah, but we've got, if you look at the alternative community that we have one of the largest databases.
Yeah.
You know, worldwide database. We can't say that we don't have the solutions, because they are there, and people will find them if we show them the way.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to point it out. Look, you know, like Thomas said earlier, you can drag a horse to water and show him where the water is, but you can't force him to drink. I'm not trying to force a horse to drink. I said, look, there's the water. If you get thirsty, you know where it's at. That's the same thing I'm doing with all the other problems out there. There's a solution. You know, Stephen popped one in the chat room. Jermaine's working on one. Raymond's got something going on. Barry's got information for you. Tom's got information for you. Just got information. Patty's got information. All of us, it's all about that. The best we can do is point it out to people. And if MSNBC and all the major medias out there don't want to show you the possibilities of the solution and even discuss the problem at hand or why we even need a solution, then that's what we do here. You know? But it's only going to be as good as how many ever flyers you can hang out or how many ever conversations you can have with people. And, you know, there's something out there, they call the sixth degree of separation or something like that, where everybody's connected by, you know, six people or whatever. And so if you go out and tell six or seven people every single day there's a solution, there's a problem, those who are interested will come to the table. You see what
Where
I mean?
Where do these problems come from? Why is there a problem?
Well, Justin, it doesn't matter where they come from or how they got here, but now we need to resolve them.
Aren't we the problem, though, by saying that?
No, we're not.
Well, how'd these problems get here? If there was never ever a problem, birds live in flocks. So do deer and lions and insects. We're the only species that has problems. We create
the problems.
Well, yeah,
Justin, because we have been put on this path. You're absolutely right. We do have an onus to this. We are the ones who are making the machine go. We did not come into this fully knowledgeable, though. You see, we have been manipulated just like we're no different. We're still being manipulated. We're no different than the average Joe out there who doesn't have a clue. The only thing that separates us is that we did ask questions, and we never stopped, and we found solutions. That's where we take up our onus, and we start doing something about it. We can't look and go back in history and say, well, because we did that way back then, we're all screwed, so we're all culpable, so let's not do anything. The issue is that, yes, we are all culpable to a degree because we brought ourselves to this point. But now, in knowing and understanding, it is our place to stand if we want to take responsibility for our actions, which is what is being done. But there are many, many people out there who have not come to this point yet. That's what we're talking about, is getting that information out to them. We can sit here and blame each other all day and be right in that, but will that provide a solution?
Well,
no.
That's brilliant.
What we have to do is
are there parts of the world that the human species live and don't have any problems?
No.
Like the Buddhist monks. They don't talk. They don't have any problems.
Yeah, they do. They fight with China all the time. They live and die. Monks are not as gentle as you see. They are always in conflict. No, you can't look at the world and say, well, there's one perfect people to do it right. Because if there were one perfect people to do it right, then we would have perfection in that area. Nowhere on this earth is there perfection except for in nature. Because we put our finger in there and discerned it.
Why is the human species so flawed?
Justin.
Because we're easily led.
Justin, you got to learn something in life. Look, I keep trying to tell... Hold on a second. Doggone it. Don't cut me off. Look, I keep trying to tell my kids. I know there's a problem. Hold on a second.
That's like being scolded.
Hold on a second.
You can't tell nobody. You can only guide them, she says.
Listen.
That's the problem. Everybody's telling.
You're not listening, Justin. I keep trying to tell my kids, each one of them, are responsible for their own actions, period. No matter what the circumstances or how they got there, everything that you do in life is your own personal choice on how you resolve any given issue. And so with that said, I don't care what you think of humans and why you think humans are the problem. We were born with free will. We got a choice whether we want to trash things or we want to fix things. You're sitting here in the midst of a group of people who are at the higher stage of thinking to where we want to fix the problems of the world. You know, I don't want to sit around and place blame on who said this or who did that or whatever. I was told that there was a problem. I stepped forward, Patty stepped forward, and everybody on this panel stepped forward to resolve the issues that they said that there was a problem at. That's the best that we can do. I'm responsible for my own actions.
Justin, would it be better if we all just decided and said, hey, you know, we were the reason why we got here, so let's just screw it all, turn our backs on everybody, not try to reach anybody, don't try to give anybody information. Do you think that would be the better route? Do you seriously think that would be the better route?
I never said that at all. Not once.
Well, what you're saying is you're arguing the fact that we're trying to reach people and that we're trying to do something positive because you say that we did something that was bad in the beginning. You see?
I'm not hindering you at all from saying what you're saying. I'm just stating the observations that the world is so parasitical and that everybody is filled with vanity. I'm just stating the obvious. I'm not
But it's not everybody.
So nobody. So you're saying you've never laughed at a kid that got a soccer ball smacked in his face or done any harm in any way? You never have. See,
did
everybody
I say that,
has.
Justin? Did I say that, Justin? What I've said is we all have onus in this. In other words, onus means we all bear responsibility for being where we're at.
Right.
What does that mean to you, Justin? Does that mean, okay, so we accept responsibility and we keep on doing what we do? Or do we stand up because we can, because we have the ability and try to make better what we have done?
That's right.
To undo, to find solutions for what we've done.
You see, but humanity isn't going to realize these things until the last moment. No different than somebody shooting heroin in their arm and they don't realize it. Maybe
how do you know that?
Why?
How do you know that?
Because look at the obvious. You guys are talking about but BP and everything else. Look at Fukushima. All this stuff is going on. And we're saying we need to stand up. We've been saying we need to stand up for the last 25, 30 years in this current era. And you think it's going to change tomorrow or next year?
What has changed?
You mean these current events that just continually keep happening are changing for the better?
Justin, we are changing things for the better. There are people providing free energy because of what we're doing. People are being able to empower themselves, taking themselves off the grid, disattaching themselves from this system, developing new ways of healing, developing new ways of building materials, developing all these new ways. We can't get up and go to any corporation in mass, I don't care if you got 10,000 people, Justin, you can't get them to go and face up against a corporation and make a single iota of change. You cannot fight a system that's designed to operate the way it operates. So what we are doing is circumventing that system. We are creating solutions outside of it and implementing them. That's not doing nothing. That's not allowing things to proceed as they were. We cannot stop everyone.
Right.
But we can make positive changes. And to boo-hoo that, to me, is like throwing your sticks down on the playground and saying, I don't want to play anymore. I can't do that. I got too much invested in
this. You just said, though, that the system can't change, but yet you're trying to come together. And if everybody came together and they bought the system, that's war. That's no different than what we've been
continuing. We're not talking about fighting the system, Justin.
We're stepping outside the system.
That's all right.
You are listening.
Doggone it. This really angers me.
What happened there, Shazis?
We lost the call there for a second. Doggone it. I don't know who picking up and who ain't. Look.
Well, I just dialed back. As soon as it went dead, I called back in and it rang through to you.
Yeah. See if we can add Patty back in.
Yeah, let's get Patty back in here.
Alright. Yeah. Ain't no time for a defeatist attitude in the world that we've got going on.
Yeah, exactly. You know what, Shaziz? What we're talking about is not attacking the system directly, but in an indirect way we are attacking the system, because everybody that steps away and looks at things they can do to take away from the system, a tiny little piece every day of your life that you can take away from the system, and I try and do this as much as I can, even though I'm still entwined in the system in certain ways. Every day of my life, I think about ways that I can affect the system. Simple little things that everybody can do in their lives. And you know what? It might sound silly that, you know, that little change will make a difference. But you know what? If 10 million people started making these changes in their lives, or 50 million people started making changes like this in their lives, and really took an effort to step away from the system, started providing things for themselves, become more responsible for your own actions and your own livelihood and your own welfare, you would see the system crumble, because the system depends on us conforming to what they've laid down for us.
We also have these systems that are already set up outside of this control mechanism. Ubuntu, the Venus Project, we have WikiLeaks, for instance. We have the free energy systems that are being created outside of this system, alongside, so that people can gradually take that step to where,
right.
Because we cannot unplug from a system without having
a solution. Exactly.
Right.
I agree.
We're building alongside. We are not attacking the system. You cannot attack this system. It's made to be attacked. They have already developed the ways and means to keep us attacking the system, because they know there's no way we can take it down, because we are the system. So
exactly.
What we are doing is circumventing that system, going around it, and in this
way we are making
progress.
Right, and by doing that, Patty, we're taking away from the system. So what we're talking here on this panel is all kinds of different ways that we can circumvent the system, and at the same time, take a piece out of the big wheel that's running over top of us. So it all plays
into the same. Right, we have to understand that there are many Justins out there who are feeling this way, and that's why it is more important for us to continually disperse information to all corners. He's right in the fact that the whole world is gone crazy. Yes, it has. It's because we've been given in our little basket of goodies. What the system has given us has been sickness, and pollution and destruction and chaos and fear. And
but to say that humanity is a parasite on the world, it just disgusts me because, you know, however you think we got here, I believe our Creator put us down here to learn something, to be caretakers of the land and one another. You are your brother's keeper, and you know, you have a choice every single time you get up in the morning, whether or not you want to do something good for this world or you want to do something bad for this world. It's a personal choice. And I don't believe everybody out there is making a personal choice to literally cause, you know, the world to go down the toilet, if you understand what I'm saying. And so, you know, with that said, what we're doing here, I believe, truly is important. And I'm sorry that Justin feels the way that he does. I mean, but I'm not going to sit here and allow him to sit here and use a defeatist attitude on people who are trying everything under the sun to get information out there in a respectful manner to everybody out there who's looking for solutions. You see what I'm saying? I'm not.
Yes, I agree.
You know, that's
not. None of us. We've heard this before, Shaziz. I mean, this isn't the first time we've heard this kind of argument, but it...
How did that just happen? All right, who...
Drop this again.
Who did that?
I didn't do it.
All right.
I didn't do it. I didn't drop the call. It's done it a couple times now. The call was dropped.
Dang old thing.
All right, well... I'm gonna hang up and call you guys back.
All right.
All right. All right, folks. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We're running a little bit over, but we're gonna keep going for a second. I gotta get some folks back in here. All right, hi Patty. Had to readjust the call there.
Yeah. Skype, gotta love it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they don't like us talking.
Well.
Well, yeah, as soon as we get into critical conversations, it seems like we're getting interference. So
I took Justin out of the call and could have potentially caused it because I didn't like the defeatist attitude. And
no, neither did I. I found that very negative, and I don't need that kind of conversation. That's not what this is all about.
And so now I'm trying to add Thomas back into the call, but unfortunately, I'm not going to add Justin to the show anymore because until he figures out that what we're trying to do hasn't got nothing to do with defeatism.
He's very young, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He is. And maybe, you know, maybe we can, you know, influence his thinking a little bit in our thoughts. That's all we can do. But Yeah, we don't need negativity in here because there's enough negativity in our world, and we're here to actually try and point out real simple solutions to people. And we haven't even got into cannabis today. Boy, I'll tell you, if the world really wanted to see monumental changes, the whole planet grasped that plant right now and used it around this planet like it was designed to be used and put here for that reason, you would see catastrophic. It is coming, but not fast enough.
And it's got the machines so afraid that
they are
implementing their pharmaceutical brand.
Of course, and you know the U.S. government put patents on these combinations of cannabinoids 3 or 4 years ago because they saw it coming. Now Monsanto's geo-modifying our cannabis plant. I mean, what they're putting on the market right now is dangerous. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's
the
already killed.
How many people?
What do
they call that stuff? What do they call it? Starts with an S. I don't have the word. Spice.
Yeah.
And it's synthetic.
Well, no. The pharmaceutical has come up with a pill that they have taken out the compound for marijuana and synthesized it. They did a trial, and one person died, and five other people in that study, that they did, wound up having mental problems that they can't even, they don't even know the extent of.
And of course, so, the mainstream media grabs it and goes, "Wow, people consuming cannabis die."
Well, that's why we got to keep doing what we're doing to educate people and putting information on so that they can research it and that kind of stuff. You guys, we can't do any more for these people than we've already done. All right, and like I said, the reason why I got frustrated with Justin's deal is that I don't believe that man is a parasite on the earth. Otherwise, man wouldn't have been here to begin with. I believe that man has a choice, and I believe that if we take the wrong choice or go down the wrong path, we're going to destroy our food chain, which will eventually end up to us basically becoming extinct. But nature, the way that nature was designed, that sometime down the line we'll clean up the mess, and it'd be as if we were never even here. What I'm saying is, before the clock runs out on us and all the species that we love and rely on each other for survival, we have a symbiotic relationship with plants. We need to ensure that plants survive so that we can survive. That's common sense. And so this kind of knowledge I'm trying to put out here, and I'm trying to do it in the respectfulest manner as possible. But
well, the way I feel too, is I do know. I do know now what I did not know before.
Yep.
If I do not act upon that, then yes, I am a problem. I am helping to destroy. But I'm not doing that. Now that I know, I'm doing everything I can to promote those things that will bring what we need, getting rid of our need for this oil dependency, getting rid of this medical system that is destroying us, being able to build outside of the toxic environment of the buildings that they have now. All of these things are what I know. And if I do not share this knowledge, if I do not, regardless of whoever listens or does anything, regardless of that, if I don't do the right thing, then yes, I am to blame, and I will not be to blame. I will not be of no use, you know?
Well, I understand. I agree. Basically, we're doing the best we can with a bad situation, and now that we've reached the stage of understanding that we're at, and we see the problem, we're trying to address the problem, you know, there are certain times in your life when you can find redemption. If I was a polluter when I was a kid and throwing trash out the window as I'm going down the road, and I finally realized the error of my ways, and instead of throwing trash out the window, now you see me as the guy walking down the road picking up the trash, hopefully somebody else will find that bit of redemption ahead of time and help me do what it is that I was trying to do, which is clean up the mess that man made. It's as simple as that.
Wait. What I have been trying to say all the years I've been on your shows is, you don't try to get off the grid. You would like to, but you realize there are others that cannot. That is exactly who you are. You know how to get off the grid. What you want to do is teach people how they can get off the grid by helping others. There are people out there that cannot get off the grid. If you can, and you do, you are a selfish human being. If you can get off the grid and produce more power, not create, produce more power than you need, then give it away.
Put it out there.
They cannot, and those that cannot will benefit. And if they don't return the beneficiary, his due, then they are doomed. Those that do not, those that do realize that you are doing everything you can do to help others, will help you.
Yep, that's about best I can do. So, with that said, folks, we're way over our normal time of the night's roundtable. go on the Knights of the Round Table podcast. Read the Knights of the Round Table, the reason for it, you know, the creed, you know. Just read what it says. And you'll understand what this is all about. You know, I'm gonna click over here real quick and I'm gonna read it out one last time. I always keep saying one last time, but some reason or another I keep ending up back in the same circle. And it means a lot. The Knight's Code of Honor. Let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, and courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. Never said that I was the epitome of perfection. I never said I was better or worse than anybody out there. I never said that I hadn't done wrongs in my life that I'm not trying to redeem myself or my soul for. I'm trying to do what's right is because I finally woke up and I seen that the world has a need that I need to resolve. I want to leave for the world a better world than what I've had to contend with. I do it in the best fashion that possible. And underneath that same phrase right there, where you see this knight, he's on his knee, humbling himself to his creator and the world and his brothers and sisters. You also see another little picture underneath there of a little squirrel in a little shiny suit of armor. He's got a little sword on the side and his little shield in front of him. And it says, right above that picture, it says, even the smallest knight can make a difference. That's what we're trying to do here, folks. That's all we're trying to do. If you believe in what we're trying to work on, then share these podcasts. Go up, throw a poster up on a pole somewhere where it's not illegal. You're not going to get in trouble, you know, or do something. Tell somebody word of mouth. Share it on your social media networks. Jump on Patty's show on TCT Radio and join Barry and Raymond and us in a conversation. Jump on Skype and get in here. Don't come in here and try to talk us down and talk us out of trying to do what it is that we feel is necessary to do what's right. You're not going to convince me that the world's overpopulated and we need to start killing people off. You're not going to convince me of that because it just don't ring true. You're not going to...
Hail King Shaziz.
What?
Hail King Shaziz.
You're not going to convince me that the world, the humans are a parasite on the earth. Our Creator wouldn't have put a parasite down here to destroy something so beautiful. He put us down here. He or she or whatever the case may be, whoever you believe to be the Almighty Creator or lack thereof, however we got here, I believe we're here to learn, we're here to love, we're here to create, we're here to make things right. And if we figure all that out, maybe we reach another higher level of an existence and get to go find out what it's all about. But in the meantime, we're in the same boat. We need to stop poking holes in this boat, and we need to start taking care of one another like we should have been from day one. That's the best I can say. So with that said, who wants to go first?
Sleep, quail, or get the hell out of the way.
Barry?
Well, you know, I think it comes down that we all got to have a real good look in the mirror.
Yep.
And ask us what kind of a legacy we're leaving for our children. To me, a person is judged by the legacy they leave. And a lot of my life I was misled and coerced into certain ways of thinking. And now that I kind of feel I've awoken to what I really see going on, it's critical that we try and share that knowledge with our fellow human beings. I don't spend a day in my life without trying to share information with as many people as I can. And really, at this point, that's all we can do. Open your heart up and smile at people. You know, in my community, Shaziz, you know, years ago, people looked at me like I was a complete nutcase. And those same people now are really, really starting to pay attention. So to say that people don't listen, that you don't have an influence on people, I'm not saying I was the reason for it, but I have tried to share knowledge with people, and at one point they just refused to even look at things I was saying, and now those same people are really taking a good look at what I'm saying, and People are waking up. I see it in my community everywhere. So keep talking to people. Every time you get a chance, smile at somebody and start a conversation. It's amazing where that conversation will go.
Yep.
Thanks for having me in, Shaziz.
Thanks
and
for being
you,
here.
Patty and Raymond, always a pleasure talking with you folks.
So what about you, Patty?
Well, I just want to say, you know, we have no control over what happened in the past. We only have control over what happens now. And there is a positive and a negative. It's your choice. If you choose negative, then you will be negative. If you choose positive, then you will be positive. It's all in your mindset. What you allow to decide on your movement in life. It's not important what the whole world does. Nothing that the whole world does has any bearing on your walk. It's only what you do and the choices you make. So if you prefer the negative, then that's what your walk will be. If you prefer the positive, that's what your walk will be. And that choice is always there, always, always to go either way.
Now, I couldn't agree more with you. I keep telling everybody when you wake up in the morning, there's a new sunrise and a fresh day with a clean slate. You can either repeat what you did yesterday or you can go on and do something better and good today. It's as simple as that, folks. And I know we got problems in this world that need to be resolved, and sometimes you got to get together and talk about it. Sometimes you got to get together at the round table and share the solutions and the ideas and keep the brains moving. You know, they say if you don't use it, you'll lose it, that kind of thing. I got something at stake here, and it's called my grandchildren and the future of humanity. And to me, that's a worthy cause for me to open my mouth and speak the words of wisdom that I find myself from the heart saying. And I feel like the same for all the people out here on this show. Now, every once in a while, and I don't hate Justin. I don't understand his way of thinking about life, but I've seen a trend in the youth of today where they feel so discouraged they don't care anymore. And I've had people in my own family, children that I've talked to, and ask them about the things going on in the world. What do you think's going on in the world? And they just flat out say they just don't care. And that's sad, because it's going to be their future. It's going to be their children's future, their world that needs to be resolved. And we got to be the leaders, the positive leaders of those to set the example, to lay the stones that they're going to be walking on into the future. That's why we do what we do. And maybe to some it may not look like enough. Maybe we're not making enough phone calls to our congressmen or our senators, but after years and years of trying to motivate and talk to people, to talk to the senators, I've written letters to presidents, I've written letters to companies, I've talked to people and tried to open their minds to potential new ideas. And when that fails, the only other opportunity, the only other option available is to ask all my brothers and sisters out there of the world to help me to complete this task of making our world better by throwing one positive pebble in the pond, no matter how small it seems to be, in whatever increments you can afford it in, to spread your love across the...
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and order scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more stable. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazeez the Terrible. All those who are king, Shazeez the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.